Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kaz Harai.
Ridge Racer! The essence of the PlayStation DNA is real change, and the consumers are ready.
Genji 2 is an action game, which is based on Japanese history.
Ridge Racer!
Being based on history, the stages of the game will also be based on famous battles which actually took place in ancient Japan. So here's this giant enemy crab.
Ridge Racer!
And you attack its weak point for massive damage.
It's Ridge Racer! Ridge Racer! PlayStation 3 will retail for $599, $599, $599.
Giant enemy crab.
$599. It's Ridge Racer!
Let's do this!
Ridge Racer!
Leroy Jenkins!
And welcome to In-Game Chat, episode number 23. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, you guys got to share microphones. Oh, goodness. Does anybody remember that from last year?
Yes. I didn't hear that.
You've never heard it before?
That's the first time I've heard
Man,
it.
Man, you can go to That's YouTube good. And just type in E3 Sony, and you'll get tons of those, because that was the big thing. Other than the Nintendo Wii, which, you know, the big thing last year was that they didn't release they didn't give you a release date or a price. They just said, here's what it looks like, and here's what we can do with it. And that was it. However, Sony came out and said, this is when you'll get it, and this is how much it'll cost. Oh, and your PSP can work with it, and oh, look, you can play Ridge Racer. And that was, you know, the big thing. And, of course, giant enemy crabs and stuff. I'm serious. It became one of those internet things where, you know, all your base belonged to us type of things.
I tell you, it was kind of hard. I can understand people not quite remembering it in the ridiculous wave of stupid things Sony was saying a year ago. Like for that event to stick out, I can understand why.
I remember I called you immediately after it was over. It was like, oh, they just announced it's going to be $600 for your two different.
No, and that's not how we said it. It was like, it's going to be $600.
Yeah, I'll talk about that later.
You know,
we got to stay off that for a little bit.
I know,
yeah.
And it's very hard to, because this leads right into what we're going to be talking about, but.
Right.
But anyway, welcome to the show. It is, like I said, episode number 23. It's E3 week. This kicks off basically tomorrow night, kicks off just a week long of nothing but E3 stuff. Hey, I want to thank everybody in the chat room there. If you want to join us in the chat room, head on over to evilavatar.com or mouselick.com. Both front pages there have the links there to join us in the chat room and to join us online and listen, as well as we got an email now. We get an email. We have an email for in-game chat now.
Do we really?
InGameChat@gmail.com.
Nice.
So if anybody wants to email us during the show, you are more than welcome to. We'll keep an eye on that. So also we have a phone number, 334-272-9228, if you'd like to call us and ask questions. Our phone gal will be in here in a little bit. She's running a bit late, but she'll be here shortly. I do want to take your calls, because we are going to talk about E3 tonight, and I do want to talk about some of the expectations, what we're kind of looking forward to from all three and from other developers as well, what we're looking forward to from E3, and would love to get some of your guys' takes on it. In the chat room right now, we have Mike O'Hara, who I understand is a first-time listener tonight.
Really?
He's listened before, but he's going to catch it live tonight.
That's great.
Why do I know that name?
What name?
Mike O'Hara.
Oh, that...
No, I was thinking of a different Mike then.
Okay. There's a lot of Mikes.
Mike from City of Heroes, who...
That was Mike Sheldon.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking of O'Hara. Anyway, welcome, Mike.
Well, we're glad to have this Mike.
Yes, we are. Karmican's in there. I'm in there. Kevin is in there. Also, Flinks, Fate Fodder, Bohika, and Spike Kojima is in there as well. So, welcome everyone in the chat room, and thanks for joining us. Jeremy, how was your weekend?
Good. It was a good weekend.
What'd you do? Anything?
I
know we played a bit. We played a little bit of Uno.
I just played games. That's about all I did this weekend. Yeah. It's the first time I can say that it's been a long time since I've done nothing but play games on the weekend.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What'd you play?
Oh, man. I played some Tenchu, played Uno, and Catan, and Prince of Persia, and Luxor, and something else.
You had an arcade every weekend then, didn't you?
Huh?
A really arcade heavy weekend.
I did have a very arcade heavy weekend.
That's great.
Something else. Kevin and I did some more Crackdown co-op.
Yeah, that's right. You guys did, and we played Catan and Uno a little bit. So
yep, made a new friend on Uno too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he wants to play some Vegas and Crackdown and stuff.
Well, that's good. It's always good to make new friends. Because currently you only who do you have in your friends list? Basically everybody from
all
Mouselet.
The Mouselet guys.
Yeah.
And that other guy I met playing Uno.
Yeah.
I met a couple guys playing Uno.
Becky, what'd you do?
I worked.
You worked. That's right. I forget. I'm talking to these people who work.
But I played Tenchu today.
Did you?
Yes.
How did you like Tenchu? Was that the first time?
Oh, no. I actually finished my 10 missions. Got my 10 mission achievement today.
Good job.
So.
All right. Dennis, what'd you partake in this weekend? Let me guess. Super Paper Mario.
No, I actually finished that one.
Okay.
Playing Disgaea 2 now. I'm still haven't caught up with all the other next-gen guys.
Yeah.
No 360.
You need to. Maybe the price will drop. I don't know. Anyway, what'd you do this weekend? You worked too, didn't you?
Yeah, I worked. I got a little bit of Warcraft in, you know, the one thing I could play when I got my laptop with me.
Yeah, Kevin was complaining because he saw you guys on there. Did you read his complaint?
No, I didn't.
On Mouse
saw us on where?
He saw you guys sign on to Xbox Live, but I think he saw Zilla sign on.
Yeah.
Because it goes to your name automatically, and
right.
then she had
and
to sign out.
She has to quit out and then go
so,
back.
But yeah. I think he saw that. So he was like, you guys should play some multi. We see you on there, but all you ever play is Luxor.
Yeah, that's what she likes. And soon, you know, hopefully when work chills out a little bit like it does in late summer, I'll be able to get back on live and do the things I want to do.
No, and it'll be
fire
great.
Up that,
you know, you're going to have to because we got too much coming out.
We have a lot of stuff coming out. I mean, not just the stuff coming out. We have a lot of stuff we haven't finished.
Man, and this week, of course, kicks off the Bring It Home
right
from Microsoft. So you'll be firing up the 360s this week to download all that cool content. You're going to have free content, by the way.
Gamers have two jobs.
Say again?
You remember that old Penny Arcade poster?
Vaguely.
Oh, man. It was like the Army Reserve poster.
Yeah.
And it talks about how coming up in the next few months, there's a lot of games coming out that need to be played.
Right.
And, you know, with your help, these games won't play us, we'll play them. You know, and basically, you know, a message to employees to make sure that when your gamer employees are done playing these games, make sure they still have a job to come back
very
to.
Nice. Very nice.
Gamers have two jobs.
Right. I don't think that would fly very far at all.
It's almost like you need to have a job that is pretty much active from January to August, and then you need to have August to January completely off
right.
for the amount of stuff that you're going to be involved with. This weekend, all I did, I played Catan for that one round that we played, and I played Uno for, I think, the two, three rounds that we played.
The round that I won?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I won, like, three in a row, and then you won one, and then we were done. We called it quits and played Catan. And other than that, I played Overlord, and that game's been taking up a lot of my time. I wanted to play The Darkness, and I said, you know what, I need to get in there so I can talk about it on the show. But I never did. I kept Overlord in the box and kept on playing.
I know Kevin played it.
Yeah.
The Darkness, so maybe he'll call in and have something to say about it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't ever get over to your place to pick it up.
Yeah, you got sick or something.
Yeah, I did. And not that even if I had, you know, I wouldn't have had time to play it other than on those 2 days. Which I did other things that we'll have to talk about later.
Well, are you doing other things right now?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. There was talk about you doing other things right now while we're on the air.
No.
But you're not, so that's fine. You're more than welcome to, by the way. You want to fire up WoW and go at it, you're more than welcome.
I just find it to be, you know, a really interesting revelation that I can.
I was going
to
say, we may lose you in the show and be like, hey, what do you think of this? Huh? What? But anyway, welcome to episode number 23. Let's jump into the news. I don't have any with me because I didn't bring it upstairs. Everybody else had them. I had all the stuff organized, which is probably not in any type of organization right now.
Well, yeah. While we're still weeding through it, I'd like to say that, you know, there's obviously a couple of big things we need to talk about this week.
We're going to talk
mainly
about
the things
yeah.
leading into E3, but I mean, the two big stories obviously being the money being spent by Microsoft. And this is about a week old. It was announced that, you know, they made this announcement just after our previous show last week. But we need to talk about the announcements that Microsoft is spending, the kind of money that they're going to spend changing, you know, hopefully what the 360 is. Add to that Sony's announcement about the PS3, you know, the big things. So I think we should deal with the smaller, you know, fun little tidbits of information first.
Well, who is ready to go first? Well, you know what? We were talking about World of Warcraft. Let's see. Tamara Broome, a 31-year-old Australian woman, has been arrested by U.S. authorities.
Yeah.
for attempting to abduct her 17-year-old male friend, whom she met while playing World of Warcraft.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, a strange little turnabout.
It is, but it's not like World of Warcraft really caused it. I mean, these things go on in a number of things. But they had allegedly planned to marry, and the sting was set up by the boy's parents, who apparently lured the woman from Australia.
Oh, okay, onto U.S. soil.
Yeah, to North Carolina.
I'm wondering how they got her.
But yeah, North Carolina law states an underage minor 17 and below. So yeah, she's being held on $2.35 million bond. Wow. And she could face 2 years in prison. So there you go. Just speaking of World of Warcraft, that came
right,
out.
Right.
What else do we have?
Well,
here?
While we're on the MMO vein, I thought it was interesting that NCSoft is closing Auto Assault, the Auto Assault sort of post-apocalyptic, you know, automotive.
It's like a car MMO.
Like, well, yeah, it's kind of Mad Max-y in a little bit of a way, closing it out. I find it interesting because it's very, very rare for an MMO to actually close. Like,
really?
Well, even the unpopular MMOs can shed, you know, 90% of their subscribers, you know, like a star turning into a white dwarf, and just collapse down to this very small, lightly maintained infrastructure that still has a number of subscribers in it. I mean, there are any number of MMOs out there that have been thought long since dead that are still moving right along. You know, not earning a lot of money with a really small subscriber base, but still doing something. And I just thought it was interesting to hear that it, you know, I guess they can take it off the Death Watch threads at various message boards around the internet because it's finally done. I mean, you know, of all the things that really does deserve to finally be shut off, I think it's one because it wasn't really doing very good even right after its launch.
Yeah.
So I think it was just kind of a bad idea.
I got into the beta and I never got into the beta.
Right.
they let me in, but I never actually used it. Another MMO was the Pirates of Caribbean.
This was supposedly put on. Well, no, it was put on hold.
Yeah.
Until the fall. They'd originally planned to release it in the spring.
They wait for the DVD to come back.
Yeah, concurrent with the release of the third film, but they said that they need a few more months. That's not really anything out of the ordinary.
So they can put free 14-hour free trial inside the DVD of the online version.
But yeah, but you can't coincide the release of an MMO with anything in the world. You just can't set a schedule for them. It never works out. It gets pushed back another 7 months. It's no big deal for it. It won't hurt it or help it at all, really. So it'll be just as well.
Penny Arcade, we were talking about them just a minute ago. They are now available on Steam.
The comic. They weren't talking about the game, but the comic is.
And I'm quite sure the game will end up there as well, but
we'll see.
But yeah, you can get Penny Arcade Comics on Steam, so that's really cool. What else we got?
Last week we talked a lot. I think it was last week about Take Two and Manhunt 2 getting the AO rating.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they've been. Somebody at Take Two, some of the management was talking about how they think it's ridiculous to have an AO rating if getting an AO rating means you can't bring the game to market. But have they paid any attention to how the NC-17 rating works in the movie industry? Because it's sort of the same thing.
How do you mean? Like,
well, if you get an NC-17 rating, you're very limited in you know, your distribution. If you get an AO rating, you kind of can only release it on the PC.
Yeah.
You know, in the movie industry, you get an NC-17. Well, you know, sorry, man, you're not going to put it in very many theaters, if any.
Right.
You know, you get a direct to DVD or video release, and that's about it. So I don't know. It seems like a perfect parallel to me.
I think it is. I just think that they probably feel a little bit constrained by, you know, you got the PC, the PS3, the Wii, and the 360. You have four potential outlets.
Mm-hmm.
And when three of them vanish instantaneously based on your rating, I can understand how they feel. It isn't like they're opening on thousands of screens everywhere. You know, it's almost like they're only opening on three screens or four screens. You know, so I can also understand why they wouldn't choose to, you know, see something that doesn't support their argument.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's I don't really think it's unnecessary. I more think that they should just release the AO game and require identity checks, just like they do for, you know, anything else that people under 18 aren't supposed to have.
Yeah.
But, you know, they'll live, I think.
Yeah, they will. And they'll figure out a way around it, and it'll still see a release.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't know.
mine.
don't fight over the news.
So you could pick out some. Well, I have one here.
I forwarded them on to him so he could look through that stuff.
I'm picking them out.
And then it'll make its way back around you. I will tell you, this is something that I wanted to talk about last week, and it just flew right. There was a lot of things we wanted to talk about last week.
You like this thing. Talk about that.
But it flew right by us. What did he give you?
Story about Jenga coming to the Wii and the DS.
See, the funny thing is I actually kind of like that. Like, that's there you go. That's the sort of thing that you should really be putting on the system. It's not anything that's going to sell the system to me, but... Man, if you can make Jenga work on the Wii, that's really cool. I don't think so, but I don't know. I'm saying maybe I need to re-expose myself to the Wii. Like, come to your house, try something else again. I just don't have any memory of it being, you know, something that really responds to fine motor skill, you know? Mm-hmm. It's for damaging your rotor cuff with, you know? It's for throwing into your TV screen. It's these big,
it's
ugly
not for
motions.
Precise movement.
Exactly.
I don't think it is, but the DS, however, I think that'll work great on the DS with, you know, your touch screen. I think that's fine, but I'm not sure how well it'll work.
I can't even do Jenga in the real world. Like,
yeah. Shaky hands,
how,
man.
How am I supposed to do that with a remote control?
Well, they put Trauma Center. They put Trauma Center on the Wii. It's just very forgiving.
Yeah?
It is.
So it depends. It depends on the game.
Well, so it's fine because they made it stupid. That can't be right.
If you can play it with gestures, then it works great. But yeah, if it's the golf stuff, doesn't work very well. Yeah. Anything that requires precise movement.
Right. Right. Well, no. I'm serious. I think
but
that's very funny
like,
that they're
know,
releasing it. I would like to see it work. I don't think I'm going to see that. But I don't know. I'm sure somebody out there in the world will buy Jenga for the Wii and tell me all about it. I hope.
It won't be me. I get it for the DS. That I wouldn't have a problem with.
Yeah.
That would be cool. But and I almost want to say get it for Xbox Live Arcade, but it kind of requires that whole...
No, I say that's the sort of thing that I would expect to pay $10 or $15 for as a download, not $50 as an off-the-shelf title.
Yeah, I don't think... Maybe if they package it with a couple other things. I don't know. Maybe this is a sponsored Wii Play type thing. Wii Play... Hasbro, I don't know, you know, something like that, or not Hasbro, but Milton Bradley, or something like that, where you have a bunch of different type of games, because there's a lot that kind of work with that. I know there was this old marble game where you pulled sticks out and then the marbles would fall through, or something like that.
Kerplunk,
that's what it's called. and you know, different games like that. For Xbox Live Arcade, I want my board games. I want my Monopoly and my Scrabble and my Connect 4, and you know,
And I want you to have them. I just want them to work.
Yeah.
I want them to work properly because as much as something like Jenga would be really fun on the DS, I like the idea just like you do in your house. You sit around, you drink too much, and like four people are sitting there trying to play Jenga, you know? And everybody freaks out when you screw it up. That's exactly what's supposed to happen. I would like to do that on the Wii as well. Yeah. Like, I think that would be just as much fun. I don't think there'd be as... I wouldn't want to do it on my DS. I want to do it, you know, in front of your...
Mm-hmm.
98-foot-wide television screen.
Right.
They're by your house. That'd be fun. I don't know.
Well, we need to bring up one of the party games then, like Mario Party or WarioWare.
Right. Okay.
Because that's really what the system's designed for.
Yeah. Well, how far away from Smash Brothers are we now?
Is it October or November?
I think it's November.
Is it that late?
Yeah.
Man, it really
needs
to come
out
right
now. It's a ways, yeah.
Okay.
That's probably the next game I'll buy for the system.
Whenever it happens, we're going to do that.
Well, you know, Metroid Prime 3 lost its online component.
Was it ever supposed to have one?
I don't remember it having one. All I remember was reading a story where they said it wouldn't.
Okay, yeah. So they confirmed that it wouldn't, but neither of its predecessors did.
I think a lot of people just started assuming it would.
Well, after the DS version, they kind of thought that it would be in there. And, of course, they wanted to make the Wii more online friendly, but... Yeah.
Not yet, apparently.
No.
No. But along those lines, the Umbrella Chronicles... I don't know what's wrong with my mouth tonight. The Umbrella Chronicles is going to have multiplayer. It's going to have two-player co-op.
I knew there was a news story on that. I just wasn't sure what it actually entailed. But, but I guess... And it'll use the friend code system. Or not the friend code system, but the whatever. That number stupid system to...
Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
The friend code system?
Well, maybe it is.
Does that say online, or is it just two-player co-op, though?
It's definitely two-player co-op, but I mean, it's multiplayer nonetheless.
Yeah.
Which may be why the use of friend codes or some other form of connectivity isn't specified. So
there you go. I was just pointing out another mic in the room. He could try and go grab and we'll plug that in. Let's see. I've got, like I said, I wanted to talk about this last week, but we got way off track on a lot of things that we were talking about last week. So much to talk about. Collector's editions. Tons of them.
Yeah.
Pretty much any game coming out this fall has a collector's edition attached to it.
BioShock only got a collector's edition because people petitioned.
Yeah.
Ubisoft.
Which I'm fine for that because we also got to pick what we wanted in there.
Yeah.
I mean,
You get to vote on it, but yeah.
They gave us choices. We didn't actually get to decide ourselves.
It's an indication of how popular the things are. And for a long time, people didn't necessarily think it was so, you know? Yeah. You get the metal tin, you get a little figurine, but there you go.
Give me some stories.
Give
me
some
stories?
You're
hugging them all over there.
Oh, whatever.
But yeah, so...
Nobody wants to listen to you.
Anyway,
I want to listen to me.
Yeah, sure we got Two Worlds gets a collector's edition, and that comes out in August. It's supposed to be the epic RPG, or the most epic RPG to date. You'll get an exclusive unlockable in-game item. That's the PC version. I'm sorry, the Xbox 360 version will include a 48-hour Xbox. That's not even a what the hell?
What are you talking about?
I was reading it.
Where are you going? You're just rambling.
Well, I didn't read that. This is what I get for not reading the story. And just announcing it, you know, just saying, here, this is what you get. Okay, wait a second. Both will feature holographic packaging, a 72-page color fantasy pen and paper RPG book, and a second gameplay disc, which will include bonus music and video content, along with other goodies such as a web kit that helps players create fan sites for Two Worlds. So that's one. The other one is World in Conflict. Did you hear about this, where you get a piece of the Berlin Wall?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. You get a bunch of stuff in there, but you also get a piece of the Berlin Wall, when you buy World in Conflict, the special edition for that. What else? Assassin's Creed has a special edition. I don't exactly know what's all in that thing.
Right.
Halo. Don't even need to tell you about Halo 3 special edition. How many of them there are?
Was it four?
Oh,
three. It's three.
Regular. Right. Collectors.
Three versions total, and then
insane or something. Yeah, and then nuts. Whatever.
Then, yeah,
too much
Master
money.
Chief helmet that'll fit on your cat. That's the only thing I can think anybody's going to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. And then make cat
Lots
macros
of new
out of
avatars online.
Yeah.
That'll be funny.
I hope that's the only thing they're going to do with
it. Yeah. And then, of course, you've got the one I was leaving out, GTA 4.
Right.
Duffel bag edition.
Yeah.
Where you get an actual duffel bag, which I'm assuming everything that comes in the special edition comes in the bag. You'll get the game, you'll get the CD, you'll get the CD soundtrack, you'll get an art book for it, and you'll get a an actual locking deposit, safe deposit box, so that you can put all your stuff in there.
That's great.
You
gonna buy any of those? Anything there? Any of those special editions? You gonna buy them?
I will buy BioShock. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. I'll just say yeah. I'm gonna
Which
buy
ones?
Some of them. BioShock. I'll buy World in Conflict. Maybe a piece of the Berlin Wall is kind of cool.
Yeah. Would you have bought the game without it?
I don't know. I really haven't read up on too much on it. I'm more interested
but
now.
It's got some Berlin Wall in it.
I'm actually interested in finding out what's in there.
I don't understand any of that.
I could probably buy a piece of the Berlin Wall off eBay and not have to buy the game.
Yeah.
But anyway. So, yeah. BioShock, I'll get. Halo 3, I'll get. I won't get the Uber thing, but I also won't get the
You don't have a cat.
I'll get the. Yeah, I don't. I'll get the middle one.
Right.
The 60 or whatever it is, ever how much it is. But I'll get the middle one there. And I'll probably get the GTA 4 one as well. Those are the ones I'm looking at. Assassin's Creed, I don't know what's in there, but I may get it.
It's like, so how do you, what makes you want to get that? Like, what makes you, is it just the toy collector in you, or is there something about the particular things? Is it more about the things that are in the collector's edition, or is it about the game, and you would just like to have the best version available for that? Because I don't have any interest anymore in any collector's editions of anything, so long as there isn't some sort of content, you know, particular to that edition.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't care. It's just more crap I'm going to put on a shelf, you know? And I just really, I don't know. They don't even feel that limited. It's just, anymore, it doesn't even seem like it's, I mean, I know that there are limited runs of them. There's only so much Berlin Wall to go around, for example. But it just seems like, there's usually enough to cover pre-orders. It's just a question of whether you pre-ordered it or not. Not necessarily any severe limitation, you know. I don't know. I don't any longer understand the appeal. I guess I used to, but I don't even get what I was thinking at the time.
If a cat came with the more expensive Halo 3,
right?
In the helmet, you get a cat. I would probably go
it
after
it was
that.
A full-size helmet.
Full-size helmet? Yeah.
I'd think long and hard. I'm serious. Well, I'm really, really curious.
Even if it was like, full-size, it still probably wouldn't fit my
As popular as they
head.
Are, what is it? Like, I just don't understand the appeal. I want the game. I want the experience on the disc. I want the multiplayer with my friends. I want the game.
Yeah. Maybe one day I'll change my way about that. You're
I mean,
right.
there are little things. Like, some MMOs do interesting things because the limited editions, which are usually only available as pre-orders, because mm-hmm. they vanish so quickly. A lot of times you'll get, you know, special items in game that can never be gotten in any other way. I mean, like, remember the special capes that you could get in
the special slide,
little things like that. That's fine. It's all vanity stuff, but it's that's okay because it sort of dates your character in a certain way. But just as far as something to put on my shelf, I don't quite understand it. And anymore, I don't think that the concept of resell value applies as much to games. It really did for a long time, like coming out of the Super Nintendo era and coming out of the PlayStation era. Like, what version a particular game was greatly affected its value,
mm-hmm.
You know, on eBay. Or
am I getting
or gray
blood market. Or am I getting red blood for my Mortal
something
Kombat?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, something as simple as Black Label versus Green Label PlayStation games could change the value of something by hundreds of dollars mm-hmm. in ridiculous circumstances. Jeremy can attest to this.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't even have to be a good game. You know, it's just the artwork on the package or the simple fact that you have it and it's not otherwise available. But I maybe I'm totally out of touch with this because we haven't really dealt with it in a long time. But ever since sometime in the PS2 era, I don't feel like availability or the rarity of these things has really become something that we're as concerned about anymore. And therefore, I think that the intrinsic value of a limited edition is less than it might have been at one point. I don't know. I'm just stymied by the whole thing.
I've been kind of out of touch with it myself. You know,
yeah, that's either because really we're unplugged from it or that it just doesn't exist in the same way. I don't know. I just, I always try to get my head around what limited editions really give to people other than more money spent on something. Nobody can say that they shove it down our throats. Nobody can say that they offer something that we don't want.
Yeah.
You know, BioShock being a perfect example of that. So
I want a Big Daddy figurine.
Yeah. So. I mean, I wouldn't mind having one either, but I'd be just as happy to buy it in a blister pack off the shelf at, you know, Target or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
If I
spend too much time on that.
If I can get it separate, that'd be great. You know, some of these things I would buy separate, but to kind of get out of that. I know one thing I don't like about some of the collector's editions are the packaging. Screws up my shelf.
Yeah.
You know, putting this big tin box of a game.
Oh, man. You know, I hated it as a retailer. I can tell you that.
Yeah?
Man, somebody made a weird-looking package. I was like, dude, just make your box square.
That was back in the PC days when they made some weird package, you know, just, triangle packages.
I remember the trapezoid thing that Tomb Raider came in.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And Final Fantasy VII, all the Eidos games.
I want to stock your game. I'm going to put you in a special stupid shelf for people that don't know how to make rectangular packaging. Oh, I disliked that a lot, but whatever.
Speaking of, I know Rorschach said he was going to be calling. He's in the chat room right now. He was going to call in tonight. He works at GameStop in Florida, and he was going to call in.
Maybe he has an interesting perspective on it.
Well, maybe on that, but I know he wanted to call in and talk about the PS3 thing, which we'll get into that here
we
in
should,
just a bit.
Yeah.
What else you got? I don't have any more papers here in front of me.
Jeremy's got something.
Yeah.
No, he took all mine, man.
I didn't take anything. It was given to me by
the
host of the show.
I handed them around the room so you guys could have some other stuff, and
it's
they never
problem.
Made
it's
it
not
back.
My problem. What do you got?
Right here.
Oh, wait a second. My bad.
We on?
Oh, wait, no, you're
still
not.
Still can't hear
you. Now you're
come
on.
Scott.
All right. There you are.
Okay, Nintendo said that there will be no Smash Brothers E3. Talking about Smash Brothers earlier. No playable.
That's all our E3
stuff.
No playable
Smash Brothers at this E3?
We'll talk about all that E3 stuff. I paperclipped everything. We've got an E3. We've got an E3 stack. We've got a Nintendo stack, a Sony stack, and a Microsoft stack.
I'm just trying to go through.
Okay,
there we go.
Yeah. Hit the Nintendo stack.
I told you, James
stack,
is hogging all the stories.
I'm not hogging anything.
They're all in your hand. You're
I don't
hogging
want these
them.
Stories.
find the Nintendo stack, because there was some stuff in there, but I think we already pretty much hit it if we already talked about the DS and the Jenga. I think we already hit on that. So.
The only thing I got right here is there's going to be a DS camera.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and it's going to be bundled with a game that will train you how to do face
exercises.
Yeah,
face training instead of brain training, whatever.
What's like?
I don't know, man. Do a grimace.
Doing like facial exercises.
Yeah.
Huh.
And it'll detect what you're doing when you're looking.
Makes me uncomfortable.
It really does. Your DS is watching you, man.
Yeah, I don't like that idea.
Well, speaking of watching you, really New York is about to get a ton of...
London-style cameras.
They're about to be blanketed with the security that London has right now, with cameras all over the place.
Hmm.
We're talking about rolling out 3,000 initially, right?
Yeah, for New York alone. So New York City, I believe?
New York City.
They're getting a lot of that stuff there. So we just jump into different things. That's great. Who else has what?
Talking about cameras, I came across a story, I think it was on Dig, about how these four kids in Australia drove up to one of these mobile camera vans that they'd park on the side of the road and would take pictures of cars going by too fast, their license plate, and mail them tickets. And they went up to the operator. Well, three of them went up to the operator and started talking with him. You're like, hey, how's this all this work? And how many do you catch in a day? And the fourth one, goes to the back of the van, takes the license plate off. And then they, take off, put it on the back of their van, and drive by it at high speed 17 times, and it tickets itself. 17 times.
Wow.
That's great.
Oh, goodness.
That's great, man.
Nice. Right.
Yeah. It's fun to do. Who else has anything, or do we want to go to a commercial?
I don't know.
Because we can afford to take one.
Why don't we take a commercial and then find something that'll make Jeremy happy? I don't want to hear him cry anymore about how he's...
Well, if you start passing the stories
over
here.
He's got story envy.
Watch the microphone there.
Sorry.
Anyway, we'll take a quick break that'll last us all of 3 minutes, and then we'll be right back with more right here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. Thanks for everybody joining us in the chat room. Got a lot more people in there. And I want to appreciate everyone for stopping by. Probably one of our biggest crowds that we've got in there right now. Who do we have? Let's see. Mike's still in there. Of course, Space Angel just joined us. Hey, Becky.
Hi.
Hey, Becky.
Let's see. Spike's still with us. Tamarick, whatever. User 265 and Akuma ATR in there as well. So thanks for coming in, guys, and thanks for listening. Moving on to some stories here about the PS3. Not yet into the price cut or anything like that. We are going to talk about that. Price cut ? Is what I should say. They've lost a lot of exclusives. Now they did gain one. They gave some new maps for what was it?
Blazing Angels 2.
Yeah, that's only coming there to the PS3. So congrats on them for that. They lost their Grand Theft Auto 4 maps, at least for the time being. The 360 is going to pick up the first of those. Assassin's Creed, originally PS3 exclusive when it was... I don't know if it was PS... Yeah, it's a tough one.
A lot of that stuff is really... It's tough to pin it down because it's hard to say whether there was some kind of exclusivity and they lost it, or whether there was intended short-term exclusivity, or whether they simply had exclusivity on the news of the announcement.
Well, Game Life,
which I think is more likely.
Yeah. Game Life, this is what Game Life wrote up about it. Newsweek revealed that Ubisoft had actually gone to Sony with an offer to make the game a PS3 exclusive. Sony did go through the trouble of asking Ubisoft to make it seem as if their multi-platform action game was indeed a PS3 exclusive, but it came out shortly after E3 that it would ship simultaneously on both platforms.
Why Ubisoft approached Sony?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. That's kind of contrary to how we normally think about the relationship. Particularly when you consider how few... I don't know. Maybe Ubisoft at the moment was drinking the Kool-Aid that PS3 was passing out. Like, honestly thinking that they would have as much market penetration as they claimed they were going to have. I don't know. I just can't imagine anybody going out of their way to want to be a PS3 exclusive.
Devil May Cry 4 is another one they lost. Virtua Fighter 5. They didn't really lose. They didn't. Well, yeah, they did lose that. The PlayStation 3 got it sooner than the 360. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of it was just a timed exclusive, I guess you could say. The new Katamari game, that's completely gone off the PS3's list of games coming out. Fatal Inertia is another one. And who knows what's next? Final Fantasy will probably be up there. That'll eventually, I'm sure, come to the 360 at some point.
That's a bold statement, man. I don't know that that's going to happen.
Well, there's that one, and then there's Metal Gear Solid 4, which people are thinking, well, who knows what's going to happen to both of those.
Yeah.
I think they'll go exclusive.
Yeah, Metal Gear.
Or not exclusive, I think they'll go multi.
Metal Gear, I could see doing that. Square's just really weird about Final Fantasy and putting it on their system.
See, I would have considered Square to go multi-platform before Metal Gear. Like, I really would. I mean, they've already kind of dipped their toe in it with, you know, the current relationship with Nintendo in regards to the DS games, and the simple, almost overlookable fact that FF11 is available on the 360. I mean, there really is no invisible barrier to doing it. It's just a question of can a franchise of that size make the move over and be published across on this other platform? I don't know. I just, for some reason, I don't. And I, you know, they've done it, I guess, with Metal Gear already, because two appeared on the Xbox. The remake.
You got the GameCube version.
Metal Gear Solid appeared on the GameCube. I mean, it's there. There's no hard and fast, you know, absolute rule that they can't do it. But
yeah.
I just, Sony needs some big name exclusives. They need marquee titles that you can't get anywhere else. That's how you sell systems.
You know, and one of the, you know, it's the elephant in the room that we keep avoiding for the time being, but I know one of somebody had listed these on the forums about the reasons that Sony maybe had taken a price cut was because some of the developers had said, look, lower your price or we're not going to release our games on your system because, well, it's not going to sell.
Because you can make a direct, you know, correlation between price of the system, number of consoles in the market, how many copies a particular game will sell. That's simple math.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. We'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah, we will. We will. We're going to have, you know, we're coming up on the end of this hour, and next hour we're going to talk about the PlayStation 3 and the price cuts that it made, the Xbox 360 and what price cuts it may make, and what new cuts they've made in just manufacturing the thing.
Yeah.
That kind of came to light today.
Well, confirmation of, or whatever, semi-confirmation, I suppose.
Right.
No final details of the long-rumored 65-nanometer process.
Exactly. And they haven't, they pretty much all but denied. They just keep saying we don't comment on rumors and speculation. That's their word on everything. We just don't comment on rumors and speculation.
Right.
So, but who knows what we'll get? It's E3 week, so Lord God, we're going to get lots of stuff this week. And it's going to start tomorrow night. At, I think, what time is it? It's 8:30 there. 9:30. It's 10:30 our time. I think tomorrow night at 10:30. There's going to be lots of Microsoft coverage for their E3 speech. But anyway, what else? We got other news up there?
Battlestar Galactica game is coming to Xbox Live Arcade.
Really?
That's right.
That's good.
Some sort of top-down shooter.
Okay.
It's going to have a single-player campaign and multiplayer humans versus Cylons.
Really?
Yeah.
Like co-op humans versus AI Cylons?
Okay.
Or is there any information about that?
It doesn't really say. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Battles that support up to 8 players in firefight, skirmish, and domination modes. Well, that sounds like it could be human players versus human players.
That'd
as
be
far
fun.
As humans and Cylons. It could be fun. I think that's definitely something we're going to have to pick up and play some multi on.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. If it's anything, you know, if it's even a little piece of the fun that Aegis Wing was.
Oh, yeah.
Then I'll be all over it.
That was great.
Yeah, it was. That was a lot of fun. Let's see. What else? Got anything else?
There's rumors kicking around that Rock Band might end up being a 360 exclusive.
That's
just
based off
of a memo or something that came out at E3.
There was a flyer. There was a
flyer
for their party that they're having, and all it had was the 360 logo on it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it had all the other logos for the game, except it lacked a PS3.
I wouldn't be surprised, man. I mean, it would be a lot of effort to release that many accessories on more than one system at a time. So
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised to see it come out for just one system at a time.
Well, assuming that the responsibility for the manufacture of the parts rests solely with the game's publisher.
Right.
If you could work something out where the console first parties would manufacture the individual things and then, like, the developer could just concentrate on the game, you know, that would make it easier to, you know, if, like, Sony would be responsible for making the Rock Band peripherals,
right?
Microsoft responsible for making the Rock Band peripherals for their system, and then Nintendo the same for theirs.
We haven't seen anything like that so far, though.
No, but I think that's a
that would be a good way to do it, especially with a game of this caliber and magnitude.
No, exactly, because that's an enormous that's an enormous responsibility on behalf of the publisher to try to do it for all systems.
Yeah, it is. I would actually be surprised if it came out for more than one system initially,
just because of that. Yeah, a little bit cost prohibitive with the hardware.
Yeah, and you know, there's apparently with all these things that I don't know how much of it is going to be wireless. I believe their guitars will be wireless by that time.
Or
you'll have the option to. Mm-hmm. However, there's got to be a hub for all this USB stuff that you're going to be plugging into probably either system, because you got your drum set. I guess your microphone somehow has to be plugged
drum set,
in.
Microphone, guitar.
And yeah, exactly. Two guitars. If you got a rhythm and bass rhythm and bass going on, then yeah, you're going to need two guitars plugged in there. So yeah, a lot of stuff. And I don't know. Did you see the video of how it all worked? Did you watch that little video?
No, I didn't.
It was a video of the IGN guys or the GameSpot guy? I can't remember. It was one of those, I think it was GameSpot, of them actually playing the game. And they were all in a room, and they were, you know, having a lot of fun, and it showed some of the gameplay. My big thing was that I love it. I look at it, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And then I started realizing, well, how many times am I going to get all these people over here to play this? And how many times am I going to get all these people over here to play this and actually have a good time at doing it other than, you know, screwing up notes and that sort of thing and you know, getting it down to the practice of it.
Right.
It just seems... And I think it's going to have online capabilities, but that kind of takes the fun out of it when you're all not in the same room jamming together doing whatever. So, who knows? They were having a lot more fun with it than I seem to have whenever I'm playing multiplayer with it, because we're so busy concentrating on what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not sure. But, yeah.
Had the Rainbow Six Vegas pack thing happened when we did our show last week?
It had gone... It went... Yes, it had gone free the previous weekend.
Okay.
Just none of us had a chance to download. I finally did get around to downloading the black pack.
That
it but I haven't even taken. I have not even taken a look at it. I'm really, really anxious to now because, again, not only is that on the market, but the red pack is now free.
Yeah.
There's no reason for anybody not to have it.
Yeah, both packs are
that,
free.
Well, and that had a strange little effect on the group of us who were playing it so often, because a lot of us got the red, a lot of us didn't, you know, and it sort of it created a little bit of turbulence in terms of like who was playing what at any given moment, and we'd have to back out of something to let somebody else in. I don't like that. Now that we're all on an even playing field again, I'm really anxious to get back in and check out those new maps.
Very much.
So
got a lot of terrorist hunt to do.
Yeah. And you know what? Usually we have game releases, but I didn't.
What
have...
is it? Project Silphide this week?
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's pretty much that's what you get on your 360. That's pretty much it. Then you get I'm kind of curious what the arcade release is going to be.
Yeah, still no word on that.
No
word
on that.
We're in several weeks now with, you know, coming in at the 11th hour.
Well, all
diving right in and giving us news.
Yeah, all their communications, however, have gone out to California for E3, and so it's like, we're all kind of away from our stations here. So to know what's coming, they probably do. It's just they haven't had time to get on there and post about it. So.
Maybe it'll be a huge thing. It'll be enormous. It'll be the best thing we've ever seen to commemorate the fact that we're at E3.
Yeah, I'm you know, I'm still looking forward to when Bomberman Live is going to...
Or it'll be lame.
Yeah, or it could be lame. Of course, then you get all the demos that they're going to be releasing probably this week. I know there's rumor of Ace Combat hitting sometime this week. There's plenty of rumors, you know?
Yeah.
There's tons in there. And we're going to get to all the E3 stuff here coming up soon as well. So I don't happen to have any news in my hands right now, so do you?
Well, I got another thing on Rock Band, which is kind of contradictory to what we just read.
Well,
this is
actually good then.
A memo shows a $20 gap.
Oh yeah,
in the
that's
price
right.
Between the Xbox
679 and 99, right?
Yeah, and the PS3 guitars.
I actually meant to bring that up, and it fell out of the back of my head when we were talking just a minute ago. It's like a little photocopy of a price list of the parts
from Game Crazy.
Yeah, $20 difference. The first thought out of my head was
wireless?
That. Yeah, for the wireless. No, I thought they were both wireless, though.
They're both wireless. They both have wireless on the invoice here.
But see, the thing is that Microsoft has been really, really touchy about the wireless on the 360. Mm-hmm. They haven't been letting people, third parties, mess with it because they consider it a proprietary thing. Whereas the wireless on the PS3, I'm assuming it's just Bluetooth.
It is.
Thing. So,
it is.
I mean, you're talking basically Bluetooth versus something that Microsoft considers personal and private and proprietary.
And apparently they'd have to pay a chunk of a license fee to use it.
Well, so, there you go. There's that chunk of the license fee.
Yeah.
That $20 per unit, I guess.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
It is a lot.
It's a ton that they're going to have to deal with. So.
Although, a Harmonix rep, when contacted, said that he wasn't aware of a price discrepancy between the two systems.
Huh.
So, who knows?
Well, reps are always aware of everything that goes on, aren't they?
This is true.
I don't know. We'll find out. It doesn't really matter, because if it happens, it's
a lot of the stories are just things leading into E3. How's this going to play out?
That's true.
On our Wednesday show, we'll find out how all this stuff played out, more than likely. So.
Yeah, and I guess I need to tell everybody who's listening right now that we are going to have a show on Wednesday night.
Chat special report.
Yeah, exactly. Wednesday night, we're going to have a two-hour program, and we're going to be doing nothing but E3 stuff. Hopefully, we'll get to talk to Evil Avatar's B.A. Penguin. Nick is his name, and he's out there right now getting ready for everything to go down, and hopefully we'll talk to him on Wednesday night and get some of his stuff. I'm going to try as best I can to have clips from both Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo's press conferences, some of the highlights of that for you guys to hear as well, and just we're gonna talk about all the stuff that we're going to be finding out here on Wednesday, because, like I said, Tuesday night is Microsoft, Wednesday during the day is Nintendo, followed by Sony, and then you've got all your other game developers who are going to be talking then, but we'll hit whatever the big stuff is we can, and it'll be 2 hours of nothing but news. From
2 hours in a normal time slot, correct?
Yes.
Seven to nine
to cover all the...
Central time
to cover all the news.
Yes, sorry.
We'll have the chat room there.
In the real world.
And everything else. So, just wanted to remind everybody.
Yeah, at the normal time, just a different day.
Yeah. So, same time you tune in right now, just do it again on Wednesday, so you can join in on that. A couple more stories there you got?
And something that'll make RJ happy and maybe go out and buy a 360. Virtual Fighter 5 coming to Xbox Live.
Right, they're going to get Xbox Live, they're going to get online play, which apparently the PS3 does not have.
Yeah.
With Virtual Fighter.
Interesting.
They get it sooner. The PS3 got it sooner, but when the 360 comes out, they're getting... It's almost like they're getting another exclusive. They're getting exclusive gameplay? Would you consider that exclusive gameplay? You wouldn't consider it, I guess, extra content, but...
Nah.
I don't know. You get an exclusive feature that the PS3 doesn't get. And I don't say, they can get that later. They could release an update so that you could play VF5 over...
Well, as far as the 360 version, it says the online versus mode will let players choose from 17 characters or a custom character created in the game's quest mode. Players will also be able to compete for prizes and earn virtual money for use in an in-game shop.
Yeah.
All right.
So, there you go. All righty. Well, we're going to take a break here. This will take us all the way up to the top of the hour, and then, of course, we'll be back 6 minutes after 8 o'clock to discuss E3. Microsoft and their possible new 360, and maybe something coming out of them out of E3. We'll also discuss Sony and what's going on with them about price cuts, but then new systems. And we'll talk about some of the games that we're looking forward to seeing more about with E3. And it's all coming up 6 minutes after 8 here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. It is our second hour, and second hour is chock full of tons of stuff here. Let's jump right into, I was actually over at mouselook.com, and I was reading about the PS3 price drop. Before we jump into that, I want to just once again mention that we are in the chat room, provided to us by Evil Avatar's B.A. Penguin. Thank you for doing that. Head on over to evilavatar.com or mouselook.com and click on the link there if you want to join us in the chat room. We have an email address if you'd like to... you can hit us up with new submissions that are just breaking right now, or maybe some stories that we need to take a look at with anything that we're talking about currently. I know it's 6 seconds difference, but right.
Anytime during the week.
Anytime during the week,
we need to talk about it. If you have some sort of, have any feedback you'd like to leave for us, please
it
do
is,
so.
The email address is ingamechat@gmail.com, and a link to do that is also on both of those front pages of those websites, mouselook.com and evilavatar.com. So we'll be using that email a lot actually. We'd like to get that going pretty smooth there. So just send us emails and we'll talk about them on the show. It's not a problem, no big deal. Moving on, our phone number again, 334-272-9228. I am going to type that into the chat room right now for everybody, so that you can call in and talk to us about some of these things that we're about to talk about, which is the PS3 price drop. Who's got the articles there on it?
Here we go. PS3 price cut. Dropping $100 from the previous retail price. This will be the 60 gig version of the PS3, retailing $499. In addition to this, there is going to be a new 80 gig PS3 added on, which will be bundled with a copy of MotorStorm.
Right.
And that'll be at the $599.
The interesting thing here is you got to back up when you talk about this, because what happened was...
Well, we're talking about like maybe 2-3 months when the previous SKU of the PS3 started disappearing.
Yeah, right.
The
20 gig. They got rid of the 20.
Right. The 20 gig and in many other ways hamstrung version.
Yeah.
Like lacking lacking the various features.
And that fell off the map. They're like, nobody's buying it. There are some people who did, those poor souls. there are some people who went out and bought that, and...
I don't even know about poor souls, though. I thought it was a good SKU. I thought it was a decent thing. They found ways to cut prices, and they found, you know, something that they could offer to people that gave them what they wanted.
Yeah.
You know...
Some people may have settled on that, though.
I don't think that was a problem. And as a matter of fact, I know when it started to disappear, I started seeing a lot of people on the internet talking about how they'd love to find one. They'd finally made the decision to get one.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't feel like paying the full price, but it honestly doesn't matter. They're gone... And for a brief period of time, we were looking at a single SKU world, which I, okay, fine, that's good. I've been against this multi SKU idea for a really long time. You should make the system what you want to make it, include all, you know, all of the abilities, you know, future proof it, if you feel like using that term, like put in everything that you think you want to use, offer it at a price, and that's it. Just deal with it. So, you know, but here we go with the second SKU. But, you know, the announcement of the second SKU is, what, 2 days after the announcement of the price drop?
Yeah.
So for 2 days, there was a price drop. Now, my real question is this really a price drop? I mean, if you look at the hardware that was available, $600. Now, that hardware is $500. If that collection of hardware, that specific thing, you know, is what you consider to be the thing that you wanted, okay, it's a price drop. You know, now it's $500. But the whole landscape of the competition between them and Microsoft, or the reality of what's being offered, hasn't really changed in the same way.
No.
Because then they
not
just shovel
the sense
another...
That it's not a price drop in that I can now get a PS3 for less money than I could a year ago.
Right.
A year ago, I could choose between a $500 and a $600 system. Today, I still have to choose between a $500
and a $600 system. Yeah, if I want to play Resistance Fall of Man, I have never had the option to pay less than $500.
Right.
So in that sense, no, it's not a price cut. Like, it's a really, I mean...
It's a kind of a feature upgrade, but it's not necessarily a price cut. It depends on how you look at it, but it's
right. It is very strange, but I mean, it's just boneheaded beyond belief. One of the reasons that I thought that they'd only needed one... You can add hard drives to the system. The system allows you to use...
Yeah.
Any additional third-party hard drives. You don't need...
Any 2.5-inch laptop drive you can stick in there.
So why is this the one feature that's been bumped up? The early rumors that the 6-axis would have Rumble feature have been...
20 gigs, discounted. 20 extra gigs for $100.
For $100 extra dollars?
$100 can get you like a 160-gig laptop drive.
Which is one of the things that I thought was so great about the PS3 to begin with. You know, it's got... You know, a more theoretical top end in terms of data storage, which I really like. I mean, I like the system in a lot of regards, but they just cannot refrain from inventing, from creating some of the most phenomenally original bonehead schemes. Like, I think the most valuable thing they're doing in their marketing is creating a roadmap of what not to do in the future. It makes no sense to me. So.
In fact, one thing's on this new PS3, the 80 gig ones, the Motion Engine chip, which is basically what allows the backward compatibility, gone.
Well, no, they took that out. Yes,
yes.
But they still have a software. It's a lot like what the 360 does, which is you have to download
a system update,
an update for that game.
Right, but we're moving into an era of more limited backwards compatibility, which is what you said, right? Isn't that correct?
That's what I mean.
So I'm glad I got mine. But
yeah, but not that it was perfect to begin with.
No, it wasn't.
All right, well, here's the other thing. All right, so if they're moving to a new version of the BC software, are they going to pull something really crappy and refuse to support the version that you're dealing with right now.
Yeah, that's true.
In the future.
If they're dropping that, you know, what happens then? So.
Yeah, like if you're dealing with two essentially different forms or software that deals with the backwards compatibility on the system, how they're going to handle that in the future, yeah. I don't know. And it is a valid point. It's come up in the chat room already that maybe now we're going to start seeing supply constraints on the 60 gig model. Maybe that's just going to vanish, and the $500 SKU is going to be what they use to dump hardware they don't like. Older hardware revisions drop to the $500 SKU.
That could definitely happen.
And they keep the 600 as their flagship.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick. And hey, who's this?
Hey, it's Mike O'Hara.
Hey, Mike. How
Howdy,
you
Mike.
Doing?
How's it going, man?
Thanks for joining
us.
Good.
Where are you calling us from, man?
I am calling from Eastern Texas, believe it or not.
All right. Now, this is your first time listening to the show, huh? Hey, well, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks so much. We're glad to have you.
We do appreciate it. So hopefully this will become the first of many. So what's on your mind, man?
Actually, I wanted to drop a news story on you guys, and from what it looks like, Microsoft is going to announce a price drop on the 360.
Right.
I kind of saw that floating out there, but I didn't do any. I didn't see anything more than just the headline. What have you read?
Well, I'm reading Shack News presently, and from what it says here, it has some dude from Wedbush Morgan Securities basically.
Is it analysis thing?
Expecting Microsoft to follow suit.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of prediction thinking that if they did this, well, then Microsoft is going to do this. Not necessarily because.
Well, Microsoft's also dealing with three SKUs currently.
Yeah,
like they still have three SKUs. I don't know how they would juggle a price. We know that a price drop is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. It's a question of when. I do think now would be a really, really good time.
But also with that, do you guys see the core being effectively discontinued?
I hope so. I mean, I don't know that they will, but I really hope so. I want that thing gone.
I think the core. The core, yeah.
I think the core is a terrible, terrible thing. Because the existence of the core, the existence of a SKU, or rather, more specifically, the existence of a player base without hard drives is a really bad thing when a developer sits there and has to consider something as simple as requiring the game to install to the hard disk. And it's like something that came up with Blue Dragon, the fact that we're looking at a game that spans across three DVDs. It would be nice to see it, you know, installable on the hard drive so I didn't have to switch disks, but can they make a decision like that when there's, you know, an enormous number of hardware units out there that don't have a hard drive on them?
That's, right.
It's an interesting question.
I'm not exactly how sure Sony is. They're not sounding smart by, you know, dropping the price on the 60 gig to 400, and then they're putting the new one four out
500.
For 600.
Going to 5, and then
they're moving it to 5, and the new one 6.
They're putting Motorstorm in, which is supposed to be a real good game. I've never played it.
It's what I've heard. It's one of the handful of things that most people pick up, and it's something I'd like to have. Actually.
But it's also limited. So once that's...
It's not in there for good.
No, it's not in there forever. It's just a limited time offer. And so once it's gone, you're still paying $600 for, you know, an extra 20 gigs, I guess, basically. You know, and your original point about Microsoft dropping on a price, you know, nothing's changed, essentially, with where they stood. The PS3 still has... The PS3 is still $500 and $600.
Well, all right, there's a couple things to take into account. This is the time of year when everybody... It's like superpowers lining up. Man, everybody's making their big decisions because they know the other guys are going to make big mm-hmm. decisions. And for whatever it's worth, the simple announcement of what Sony is doing gains them momentum.
It always
they,
makes
they
me
get
wonder...
A lot.
Yeah, it makes me wonder last year's E3 when Sony went first and then Nintendo... It makes me wonder if Nintendo had plans to they said, well, let's see what happens at Sony. They're going to release their price and their date. Let's find out what that is, and then we either go ahead with what we're going to say, or we hold back and don't release that information.
Well, you remember what Microsoft said last year when they were asked about a price drop.
If anything, also, I really hope that they would do something about the absolutely abysmal Life for Windows adoption.
Last year they said that that was their bit. That was their big thing last year. Was like, hey, you're gonna interact with Xbox Live and wait. Your cell phone's gonna be able to interact. You're gonna be able to download stuff. Tell your Xbox to do a lot of stuff. And so far that hadn't come to pass.
Of course, at that time they did not say, you know, you have to buy Windows Vista to do this.
Yeah, well, there's that too. Straxus was talking about what Microsoft said last year about a price drop. They said they don't need to.
Well, they said they got their price drop when Sony announced how much the PS3 was going to cost.
Yeah, like, there was an awful lot of snark and a very small amount of business sense in that statement, though, because that's going to look silly, you know, looking back whenever they finally do make their price drop. I just think the biggest weirdness is that they're dealing with three SKUs. How do you stagger that price drop?
Yeah,
you know, you've got a 300, a 400, and a 480 system. I think the biggest. I think it would just be nice if they dropped the core. And they did some kind of price drop, maybe even $50 on the other two. I don't know.
I hate to interrupt. I'm not going to be surprised either if they end up announcing Gears of War for PC.
Well, that's already been. There was a leak on that, wasn't there?
Well, there was. It was rumor.
Yeah. So I'm sure that'll be one of the things from.
Only from what it seems like from the video.
Well, now that's a much better thing. The things that they already had, like that Halo 2 and Shadowrun.
Yeah.
Like these are not. These are not the things that you want to try to use to drag games for Windows Vista.
Halo 2's already been out. People have played
all
it.
Over. Yeah,
Halo 2's been neither one been of them.
Shadowrun just doesn't have a niche right now.
Gears of War.
Yeah,
Gears of War.
That's different.
You could leverage the fame and popularity of that game.
I believe that if done properly, that Gears of War will spur a lot of adoptions of Vista and Live for Windows, respectively.
And wasn't there more content?
Right.
Wasn't there some new content in the PC version that people were talking about?
Oh, I didn't hear that part of the room.
That's true. It was like apparently there was a beast that was talked about in the 360 game, but you actually get to fight the thing in the PC. I think I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look. But yeah, from what I understand, there was some new stuff, which I'm sure will be available to us eventually for downloaded content. But I'm not sure. So, but yeah. Any other thoughts on these price cut things going on, man?
Nope, that's gonna be it.
Yeah, the only other thing I could say is that this could also. I mean, you know, and we'll get onto this, I'm sure, in a few minutes. But the story that broke middle of the week last week about Microsoft finally owning up to the absolute reality. Of their history of hardware failures and everything, and everything they're going to do to it, and of course we'll go over it, not that anybody hasn't heard, but simply repairing the damage. I mean, this $1 billion that they're spending is there to take us back to zero, take us back where we should have been. No general hardware failures, no excessive amount of repair money spent on behalf of the consumers.
That should have been done when they did the first stuff with the warranties and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not actually... I think it's great, and for a lot of different reasons, but it's not like we're actually gaining anything by this announcement. They're just taking us back to where we should have been. So I think that a price drop might, even a small one, might go a long way toward, you know, earning back a little bit of positive sentiment.
$50 would, you know...
I think you're right.
I agree entirely.
$100 would be even better.
But can they afford it with the loss of $1 billion? I mean, they've... got hats made of money, man, but
they may lose a lot of money on the initial hardware purchase, but when you have people like myself, whenever they buy a 360, they'll buy on average like 3 to 4 games.
Right. Yeah,
they make
it up,
they'll make that up fairly quickly.
Well, at this point they're making money on hardware, aren't they?
I've tried to pin that down, it's been really difficult. A lot of the things coming directly from them say that they haven't, but some of the language can sometimes refer to either the system or like that division, which also includes Zune.
Yeah, now I know the division is losing money.
Yeah, so it's the language can be very difficult, but in any case, making money off of that stuff right now is not going to happen. They need to spend some more money, be it just in that $1 billion asset allocation to fix the hardware problems or in an additional price cut. But hope we might see in as few as 1 or 2 days. So
It's tomorrow night. Their big thing is tomorrow night, and they're going first. And they only seem to go first for whatever reason. I don't know why. In fact, did you see the venue where they're holding their conference at?
No, I didn't see
it. It's an outside event. It's going to be completely outside. It's some high school. It's like Santa Monica High School's theater thing. I don't know, but it's this outside, this huge outside arena looking type place.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for that too. And
I know Major Nelson had a picture of it as his website.
That's what I'm looking at. It's at the Santa Monica High School amphitheater.
That's what it is. Yeah. And there's a picture of it. It's going to be all decked out with stuff, and it's going to be, you know, If you ever go to mouselook.com, look in our news section and go back to May of last year and look at all the E3 covers. I was all over this stuff. Enjoyed it. I love this time of year.
Yeah.
Anytime the big E3 week and the PAX and GDC and all this news. Yeah, I love all this stuff. Love it. And it's always fun to pick who was the winner of this year. Last year, the guys that got the most attention, however, was Sony. It was bad. It was bad attention. Yeah. It was attention nonetheless. And then the other thing was you saw all these videos of, here's the line for everyone waiting to play the Wii. And it took you like 3 minutes to go through the thing.
That video popped up again, actually. That video's popping up again.
Yeah.
The real-time Wii
and
line.
And then the video of the PS3 people like out in Fresno, California, where the police had to be called in and there was a riot fixing to break out and stuff.
For what? When they were doing
the PS3 when it went on sale.
Oh, when it went on sale, yeah. The launch stuff, yeah, that was yes. Crazy nutsoid.
Talk about sound and fury signifying nothing. But whatever, again, I want that system to be a success.
Yeah.
Even a 360 fanboy needs that system to be a success, because the Wii is not competing in the same strata. It's doing its own thing.
Yeah.
You need healthy competition. We want to see it. We need the innovation. We need the price cuts. We need the, you know, that competitive impetus has to be there. And for that to exist in this, you know, current situation, we need the PS3 to be successful. So here's hoping they are.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you calling in, Mike.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I appreciate
for listening.
Having the opportunity to come on with you guys.
No. Anytime. Call us up and talk about whatever we're going on about.
All right. We'll definitely do that.
Keep your head above water out there.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Rorschach's supposed to call us, and he called earlier, and I told him to call back. He has not done so yet, so I should probably reprimand him in the chat room.
Well, we'll keep some space.
He works at GameStop.
I'd love to hear what he has to say about it.
Yeah,
I'm
very curious about that. But yeah, so going way back again, they dropped the 20, and then this comes out. This Circuit City ad starts getting some notoriety over at the cheapassgamers.com website, the CAG, and which is, I swear by that site because I get some really cheap-ass games. It's good. But they get the circulars for the Sunday papers way in advance. I don't know how they do it, but they get it. And one of them showed Circuit City selling the 60 gig for $500, which is $100 cheaper. And so this thing started spreading like wildfire. A day later, Sony comes out, and I think we've got the article where they deny it. And they say, hey, there is no price cut coming.
Well, so... My perspective on that is either, you know, they're doing the whole Obi-Wan, it all depends on a certain point of view thing.
Right.
Where because they were about to announce the second piece of hardware that they're going to release, the second SKU, in their mind it isn't a price cut.
Mm-hmm.
Or whether it was just them typically saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, but this thing over here that I'm pointing at that you and I can both see. I don't know what you're talking about.
They really should learn from Microsoft and just say, hey, we don't comment on rumors and speculation. No comment is the best comment you can give in situations like this. Otherwise, you end up looking like Sony. no kidding.
And in a lot of instances, there's just no way for them to be right.
Yeah.
You know, it's too easy for an affirmative or a negative response to be true to some extent from their perspective, but to turn out to be something really, really awful. I don't know. And then it becomes impossible for you to ever correct yourself, like, you know, which is the case with 3Speech.
Yeah. I finished listening to Major Nelson's podcast. He had the guy who basically was on that and who called him those names or whatever. He had him on. It was very interesting. It reminds me of radio days whenever they'd go after competition like this. But, yeah, they were talking to him, and the guy who made the comments kind of owned up. He's like, yeah, it was kind of childish, but, you know.
Hmm.
He's like, yeah, but so they just started going back and forth. It was interesting. But the Sony said, no, we're not having a price cut. Then the next day... then I think over the weekend, it's like, okay, fine, here's our press release. There is a price cut. By the way, we're also releasing an 80-gig version in August that will come, for a limited time, will come with MotorStorm.
Now, that's just for the States, right? I'm going to say in the back of my head that there was a story some weeks or months ago that there was an 80-gig version already either...
In Japan.
Was it just Japan?
Yeah, it was just Japan.
And it's been released?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that, but I believe it was.
And there was some thought at that point in time that we'd see that eventually in the U.S. So this isn't a total surprise.
It's not really a surprise. What's a surprise was that they you know, people thought, well, it's an 80 gig. God, it'll probably cost, what, $700? But they didn't do that. Yeah, they just kind of dropped the ladder down.
That's so ridiculously arbitrary. For what they're doing, particularly, again, not to mention it too many times, but you don't. We're not scratching for an extra few gigs here and there on the PS3.
Right.
Because... can go buy, you know, an aftermarket hard drive. I don't understand releasing a new SKU that where there's no other fundamental difference other than 20 gigs.
Yeah. Well,
six-axis
right.
Rumble, that would have been a big thing.
It would have been. It still wouldn't have. It wouldn't have. Would it still justify the price?
I don't know about justification, man. I don't know if you can necessarily justify.
And when you manufacture your 60 gigs, do you when you start, you know, doing more 60 gigs, do you include the Rumble in there then?
If you're asking me what I would do, if I was going to do an 80 gig with Rumble, I would stop producing 60 gigs.
Oh yeah,
but I don't think the multiple SKU thing is that great an idea. I just one SKU at an affordable price.
Spike's telling us the 80 gig was just in Korea. It was not in.
I knew that it was something relatively small. I knew that it was. I almost wanted to say it was in Europe or something, but I
was that like a test where they was that a test market for that? What were they doing?
I have no idea.
What was the reason?
I honestly have no idea.
Was it like, hey, we're sorry it took so long. Here, you know, we'll give you an 80 gig version instead. So I don't know what the I don't know what it was. I'm not sure. But yeah. Hey, Rorschach, call us, would you? I know this was something you really wanted to talk about, and we're about to move on from it. But
we can always step back.
Yeah, we can go back to it. Hopefully we'll call.
See, the other thing that I'm curious about is, you know, to what degree these decisions are based on outside forces, or how much of it is interplay between Sony and Microsoft. Like, we all know that Microsoft did not just become aware of the reality of these hardware issues. We know they didn't. We've been aware of them for an extremely long time. The worst part has been that nothing was more there was no substantive data. You know, there was a lot of anecdotal things, and then there was like, well, we've reached like the year and a half mark, and all of a sudden, like a lot of people are starting to talk about this. There was the first announcement of the extended warranty. You know, then even more stories, and then all of a sudden, in the past several weeks, you know, kablamo.
There's just been this huge explosion, both of stories of dead 360s, and you know, retailers coming out and talking about their return rates, and it's become this huge. I guess it's just snowballed point it's at now.
It's funny because here it has snowballed right up to E3. So I hate the fact that like you can't know. Did they just do this because things were reaching a fever pitch, or
that's what I feel like,
or was it? Is it also because it's
it
right
like
before E3?
Anyway.
I don't know. I mean, how much of all of these factors, because somebody had to be aware that there was a PS3 price drop, or that they were doing something that was going to get them more attention. I mean, at any rate, it's a fairly, at least in my experience, a fairly unprecedented response for a consumer electronics manufacturer. I mean, a lot of times they'll acknowledge the failure and they'll fix it in further revisions, but that's it. It stops there.
Mm-hmm.
They've extended the warranty backward to release units for 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
and they did it for not just this specific problem, but they said general hardware.
That was the thing, because that was a very big deal, because they identified so many different things that could cause the red ring of death.
Do you remember the old zip drive click of death problem?
No.
Zip drives, for the longest time, they'd just die, and you'd stick in a zip disk, and they'd just click and click and click and wouldn't read, and they'd ruin the media you'd stick in.
Huh.
And then at some point, the president of iOmega or whatever said in an interview that his company would repair any out-of-warranty zip drives that exhibited the click-of-death problem.
Right.
But you just about had to, when you call customer support, refer them to the story where he said that to get them to honor it. You know, this isn't
terrible.
Like that.
I mean, no. This is
extended the entire warranty.
Well, because we're talking about what they said was a 1.05 to 1.15 billion dollars allocated toward this problem, and that covers the cost necessary to engineer, you know, fail to fix this problem in future revisions, to extend the warranty on all extant 360s. To 3 years, to reimburse everyone who's paid for out-of-warranty repair in this now, you know, being grandfathered in to this thing. Like, I mean, we're talking about a truly holistic approach to fixing this problem. And it is good. I think it says a lot about how serious they thought the problem was and how much they believed that if they didn't fix it, it would ruin their reputation. It would ruin their ability to sell to other people. But it is a big deal, and I think that it's kind of causing waves back and forth between them and Sony. I mean, this, you know, yes, Sony makes a price cut, that's fine. Gamer circles, people are talking about it. And Microsoft spends this money, and, like, it's on every news channel. It was, like, the leading news story that morning when I got up on every news channel, on NPR when I was in the car on the way to work. I mean, it was everywhere. That's a really, really big deal. So...
Spike in the chat room says that it's just the three red ring problem that would be covered by the 3-year warranty.
Yes, but Microsoft specifically said we've identified a number of problems that cause the three red rings. So the general hardware failure, like any general hardware failure that leads to that. And as I understood it, there were like almost everything. I don't know about disk drive failure.
Disk drives don't cause the three red rings.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't even know about that being... Because they still haven't talked about the disk scratching issues yet. That one still kind of seems to be...
Right, that's kind of its
That's like
thing.
Another thing that I think is going to show up. But that one, again, I think is a...
I mean, you're talking about Microsoft. What is the... I don't know, maybe I zoned out. Did we talk about the Falcon or whatever?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Might as well jump into it though, since we're on that story of the warranty that they're extending,
right?
For you know, a billion would love to have. There's a transcript of the conference call, when they were going over this and saying, well, okay, we're gonna take a hit. It's gonna be $1 billion.
Right.
I would hate to had to present that, but that's the way it had to go. I mean, if you look at it. If you look at it and read it, where they give this information, they really feel, at least from reading the transcripts, it seems like the guys presenting that really feel like, hey, we've got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around this. We've just got to do this to support our community of customers, basically, and to support our product that we have out there. We've just got to do this. So it was an interesting read. It's a very long one, and they all have questions. There was another point made where the fact that they were going to reach their 12 million mark, and they couldn't make the 12 million. Instead, they were making, I think, 11.6 million shipped of 360 consoles.
Yeah.
It seemed to be a big deal. That 400,000 apparently is a big deal for them.
That's a lot.
Especially when you're losing $1 billion.
Yeah.
So there's a lot there. So where did that story go on the Falcon? Did you have that over there?
Yeah, it's over here.
Yeah,
I read it earlier. Well, I mean, that's basically the fleshed out version of the whole rumored 65 nanometer process for.
But it's a go now. Is it still a rumor, or is it? What is that saying?
Falcon is the name for the latest internal electronics for the 360. It will have an IBM microprocessor and ATI graphics chip that are manufactured in a 65 nanometer production process.
There you go. Any set release on this?
Doesn't say anything about it.
Yeah. I'm quite sure it'll be.
That'll help with the red ring problem, though, in as much as it relates to heat issues.
Yeah.
Because less heat.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't think that heat was. I just don't know that heat was the only thing, or probably one of the biggest things. But I don't know that it was the only contributing factor. But that's still a great thing. It also. I mean, the simple act of moving to a smaller process means an awful lot of things. It means less heat. It also, there's the possibility of changing, you know, the actual configuration of the console, moving, like, you know, we saw with the PS2 or the PS1 or actually pretty much any system prior to that. We actually moved to a slimmer, more compact design. They might wind up moving the
and
power
brick.
And
it costs less to produce.
It does cost less to produce on their end, which is probably something they would be really happy with at this point. I mean, for them, it's a cost-saving measure. If they've done the R&D and if they've tooled up factories to make these things now, then they're in a good place to start doing this and saving themselves money.
So And this is not really a big if. I'm quite sure you're not going to see a price cut come out of the E3 announcement next week or tomorrow night. When would they? I mean, we're getting to the point where
when would they announce the new
when
system?
When would they cut the price on the 360? When would they do a price drop on that? I mean, aren't we? We're coming to that point, aren't we? Or maybe there doesn't need to be a
point. We're closing in on 2 years.
Do you drop your price after a certain time goes by, or do you look at your competitor who hasn't really done so, and you say, well, we can pretty much stay where we're at then. We don't need to drop our price because they're still selling theirs for whatever, you know, for whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Do you drop it regardless?
Well,
and then really pull the rug, you know, out from under them.
I think it would go a long way toward making people feel better about their system. Mm-hmm. They're spending the money to deal with this issue. That's done. That's over with. If you have a problem, if it causes a 3 red rings, we're going to pay for your stuff. We just ate $1 billion.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, that's done. That's a reality. Let's assume that they've already done everything necessary to start producing the 65 nanometer version of the system, which is going to save them some costs and hopefully prevent them from, you know, continuing to spend extra issues with repairs. That's going to get them a little bit. But a price cut is going to cost them money. There's no way around that. You're accepting less money in trade for the console. So it's going to cost them a little bit, so they have to consider how many more systems are they going to sell with a price cut. I don't know that they can... I don't think they can do $100. Because traditional price cuts happen in like $30 or $50 increments over time, and usually at about 2 years. I can't quote specific dates, and I can't even remember that specifically, but I think that's how the PlayStation and the PS2 dropped. Mm-hmm. I can't really remember about the Xbox since I didn't have one. But
well, they released the Halo 2 edition.
Yeah, I remember that.
The special edition.
The special edition box. And I know I picked up one of those because my other one I let you Frankenstein up.
Yeah.
And do all sorts of things to it. So yeah.
I think if they don't announce a price cut at E3, you probably won't see one this year.
But see, the thing is, you don't really announce... You don't announce price cut. You remember when we worked in retail? Anytime something dropped in price, we found out like a couple days before in time to put up new signs. That's about it. Nobody wants to announce a future price cut because then you just quit selling consoles. Anybody who is... It's like I was talking about earlier, my girlfriend wanting to buy a MacBook. Mm-hmm. We want to get her a MacBook. The new OS is due out in October. Maybe I'll just wait till October so I don't have to pay the $250 to get the new OS. That's just a known thing. If you say we're gonna cut the price.
The reason I say that though is it seems like a price cut at this point would be entirely in reaction to Sony's either price cut or moving SKUs around or whatever you want to call it.
It seems a little bit earlier. I think that my just guess would be if they're gonna cut the price, they would be like, hey, here's, you know, we're now shipping new whatever, you know, they start bringing in the new units and then just say, okay, now we have a price cut. And I would think of it sometime around August, mm-hmm. when people start spending money for the holidays. I think that maybe another month or so. I don't know, but
it may be
because it's so much
billion and a
year.
Half dollars that are going to fixing the problem is
might
what
also,
we get instead of a price cut.
Yeah, I don't know. I would hate that to be the case because it doesn't really, like I said, it just brings them back to where they're supposed to be. It doesn't gain them anything new. And they still want new adopters. They still want more consoles sold in more homes. I don't know. It's a really strange thing. If they hadn't had these issues, I think we might have seen a price drop by now.
I think you're right.
I don't know.
But who knows anymore, you know?
It's just I think there's too many factors. I think that, you know, I'm not going to play armchair analyst too far.
Right.
I've got my own opinions. Everybody does. There's more analysis in this generation of hardware than anything else, but...
I was going to say, you notice I hardly ever print out stories that are analysis.
Yeah.
Because I think we do enough of it anyway. Which we do. It's just the fact that I can tell you what I feel. It's all opinionated, so that's why I don't ever print out those stories. We've got our own opinions to throw in there anyway, and we've got your opinions as well, which you can call in and let us know of. 334-272-9228, or you can email us at ingamechat@gmail.com. In fact, we had an email come in. It has nothing to do with Sony or Microsoft or anything that. Robert wrote in and said, I just recently started listening to you. I've heard you talk about the new games coming out, but what about the free games and older games? One I would like to hear you discuss is MAME 32, classic arcade game emulator. There are also NES, Sega, etc., now that emulate some of the older games that some of us old folks grew up with.
Yeah, Jeremy. Man. Jeremy knows a lot about that. Yeah, Jeremy knows a lot about that world.
In fact, Jeremy, you want to come in tomorrow night and just talk for 3 hours about that?
I'm not as heavy into that as I used to be. I mean, back when I first met James, I was really heavy into the emulation.
Yeah, you really were.
Well, that's what you did to my old Xbox. You know, I talked about you Frankenstein it up. Actually, no, you put a was it a MAME in there?
I don't know if we put MAME on there or not. Man, we put a bunch of emulators on there.
I had arcade games. I had...
Well, then, yeah, you did have MAME.
Yeah, I had arcade games. I had SNES. I had Sega. I had, I had all sorts of stuff I didn't even remember coming out.
Yeah.
As far as systems were concerned, just a ton of stuff on there. So that's what your Xbox was good for back then.
Yeah.
You could do all sorts of stuff. Of course, you can do that with your 360.
Well, you know, I'd been following the emulation scene back when people said Super NES emulation was impossible. Mm-hmm. We'd never be able to emulate a Super NES at full speed. It was just too complicated and you know.
Well, just in case anybody's listening that doesn't understand this, because emulation's not as big a deal as it was as it used to be.
It was prior to Windows 95, by the way.
If you could give like a little 10-second primer on what that actually is. Okay. What we're talking about in emulation.
Well, basically, emulation is just the process of running software that was developed for a completely different set of hardware on a completely different set of hardware. For, like, say, an 8-bit original Nintendo game on your computer is a fairly common thing to do, or old arcade games or Super Nintendo games. And they also write, you know, some of the people in the scene write emulators for newer systems. Like, you know, Scott said, I loaded up some old Genesis and Super Nintendo and arcade emulators on his Xbox.
Right.
Play some of those games.
I only wanted Trog. That's all I wanted.
I mean, what was the one for the PlayStation? What was the PlayStation emulator? We even talked to the guy at E3.
Oh, Bleem.
Bleem.
Yeah.
Oh, Bleem. I remember that. That was so much fun.
Yes.
That guy was such a he's so weird.
He wanted me to you had to run this like gauntlet in the Sony booth to get their PlayStation T-shirt. Uh-huh. You had to play like all these games, and then they'd stamp your card, and you'd get a PlayStation shirt. And you'd go to the Bleem booth, and they were under attack from a lawsuit by Sony, of course.
Right.
And so he's like, "What are you wearing that shirt for? You don't want to wear that shirt? Give me that shirt, and I'll give you a Bleem shirt." I was like, man, I wouldn't be interested in Bleem if I wasn't a PlayStation fan to begin with. And he's like, okay, yeah, that's a good point.
And he was wasn't he down in Cantilla Hall? Wasn't he one of the...
Yeah, he was.
He was the guy shoved back there down with like weird third-party Korean PS controllers or something.
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny because we actually sold Bleem for a while in the store.
Oh, the Bleemcast stuff.
Yeah.
That was Bleem. They released a specific emulator for a specific PlayStation game. Like you could for $10, you could buy a disc that would play Gran Turismo on the Dreamcast.
But we had that weird boxed version that like didn't it have like a list on the back of like, you know?
I don't think it was ever more than 3 games per disc.
I thought it was more than that though. I thought that there was a period of time, a very brief period of time, because I remember there was a recall on it. I remember we had to like pack it up and send it back.
I don't remember that at all.
I do, very distinctly. I don't know why.
Huh.
Yeah, that's long out of my head, though. I haven't thought about that in a while.
Yeah.
Emulation's not quite what it used to be.
No.
And, I mean, there's not enough...
No, because now it's the virtual console, an Xbox Live Arcade.
Right,
and...
but which doesn't necessarily fall under the... It doesn't fall under the heading of free or at least... exceedingly cheap.
But it's a lot like...
But it's legal.
That's true.
It's legal, and it's a lot like the reason some people decided to switch from PCs to consoles is because we don't have to fool with any of this. It's more convenient.
Yeah.
Than having to... And maybe there was... Maybe, you know, I'm sure Jeremy over there is thinking, like, what are you talking about? It's easy. For people that don't know, it's... you may say all you have to do is download this and you're good to go, but for people that just have no idea what you're talking about, it's a whole... That's... You just spoke in a foreign language to them just by telling them that simple little thing, so...
That funny computer voodoo.
Yeah, you know, there's people who think, you know, obviously, so there's people who look at it as, well, there's just convenience there. I don't mind... I'm paying for the convenience, which maybe you don't have to, but yeah. So, but and then, of course, legal as well, which is good. So there, Robert, I hope we helped you out and at least discuss that for you. So thanks for writing in, and you can do that, too, ingamechat@gmail.com, or you can call us at 334-272-9228. Let's see. What do you guys want to do now?
Where were we sitting at? Obviously,
We're
Rorschach
sitting at about
fell off the map with
yeah.
Him,
he I, he's it looks like he's in the chat room, but I think he's completely.
I still want to hear what he has to say about the price drop. So we're never getting back on.
He just his name just lit up in the chat room for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I have a voice activated PC, and it just kind of lit up there. Hopefully that means he's typing. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, I think that is what that means.
Well, if he's typing, you need to call in, man, and let us know what you were going to say. I'll put the chat. I'll put the number in there because we've only got a few more minutes before we got a break. 9228. But we got a break and go to our next hour here in just a bit. So is that? No, that can't be literal. Spike said PS3 just went up from 2,400% to 2,500.
Yeah, he's been talking about the increase in sales. I don't know whatever period that is. Over what period that is?
I don't either.
But I mean,
nope, he's gone. Jack's not in there anymore.
Apparently your name being highlighted means you're logging out.
I mean, to increase something, 2,500%, you can increase. It doesn't necessarily mean that the overall number is huge. It just means that you went from moving. I mean, it could mean that you went from moving virtually nothing to moving a little bit of something.
Right.
So it's tough to tell exactly what that means. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, again, here we are. We're in the second
half
of the
year. That's
what
Akuma said.
Now.
It's easy to do when you only sold three in the last month.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah, you could jump that. I know Luminous jumped way up there for the PSP because of the little homebrew thing that you could do.
Right.
With it through the PS3, which I think they fixed anyway. So.
Well, I saw a story on Dig that said that the Xbox 360 had jumped a similar percentage, like 2,500%. So maybe Amazon just hasn't had any stock of consoles in.
That's interesting.
That's true, yeah. Because you're only looking at what they sold and not really the whole thing. So.
Right.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
We'll keep that in the chat room.
Yeah, we will. We won't go. We'll talk about MAME and illegal stuff, but we won't talk about that sort of thing in there. So
this is America, after all.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about something violent real quick. That's okay. That sort of stuff.
Yeah. So coming up here in a little while, we're going to talk, I guess basically our whole 9 o'clock hour we're going to be devoting to E3, all this.
We still got our giveaway.
We do a giveaway.
Yes, we do. Giveaway to free rental at any movie gallery in the nation or Canada.
Yes, exactly. It also works in Canada. So we'll have a trivia question coming up in the 9 o'clock hour at some point. I don't know what we'll base it off of. Maybe we'll
come up with something on the top of the hour break.
Yeah,
I've got a good one for next week, but I didn't get it ready for this week.
We'll work on something.
Yeah, we'll have something for you. It won't be too difficult at all. But yeah, free rental. Of course, if you're out of state, you can still call in and still win it. We'll mail it to you. It is good. I don't think it has an expiration date, so... it's good till whenever, and that'll be coming up next hour. We're going to talk about E3, and we want you to call in when we do this, because we want to know. I'm going to tell you my game that I'm looking forward to, and you probably don't even have to really wonder, but my game that I'm looking forward to, and I'm curious as to what everybody else is that's going to be hopefully shown at E3 that everybody's looking forward to the most to come out of here. So we'll be doing that coming up next hour as well. Anything else that we're going to be talking about? We may talk about Transformers. We may hit on that a little bit.
I'd like to talk about it.
You want to hit that now?
We can do that. I don't want to spend too much time on it. And I know that it's been out, for a week, but we didn't get a chance to see it until Tuesday. So we, haven't had a chance to talk about it. Anybody who listens regularly will understand this, but for new listeners, I will say that Jeremy, long-time fan of Transformers.
Huge fan.
I was a great fan as a kid as well, but never got so deep into
I'd almost
the world
point
as,
you
as,
to his review of that, because that was a very well...
It was. And he segregated his, very particular commentary about the film to his fanboy rant, and that was good. It was succinct nonetheless. Scott is in love with Michael Bay.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
On an unhealthy level, I might add.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what it was about. Scott loved the film. There you go.
Yeah.
And then, I have my own perspective. So I just, for me, I tell you what, I will not comment one whit about the Transformery aspect of it. I do the best I can anymore. I don't like going to the theater. I don't like the people. I don't like the treatment of the people that are brought in there. I don't like the hostility. I don't like the traffic. I just don't like it. I used to love it. It's not so much anymore. I mean, Dana and I went on a matinee, and it was still
jammed,
just more than I wanted to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But I do my best. After going through all of that and spending the money to flush expectation out of my brain. There's sort of an agreement between
the viewer. How hard is that to do?
And I just try to do it as much as I can. I'm either the best moviegoer or the worst. Yeah. I can't tell which. I never see it coming. I never get the twist. I never know who done it before it happens. I don't figure films out. I'm a total moron, and I want to go where they want to take me. So I'm willing to meet them in that place. So I'm willing to meet Michael Bay at this place where he's going to take me through his story and show me his film.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was dreadful. I am so angry at shaky cam. I'm so tired of it. I am sick of someone trying to... I know that it's a decent device, but I don't think it is the best perspective to spend 90% of the movie in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really, really bad when you can't bring your antagonist, whoever it might be, giant robot or not, into the film until the last 20 minutes of it. I think that whatever your film is about, in this case giant transforming robots, you should maybe get to the point a little sooner than an hour and 10 minutes or however long it was before the first thing transformed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that there were too many known actors in the movie who needed their own script time, their own screen time. Spending so much time doing that you couldn't pay attention to actually how the film was being made. I don't know how much time these animators spent working on the giant robots. I don't know how much brain power was spent trying to make them look the way they wanted them to look.
Was it like 35 hours per frame for rendering?
That's not a surprise at all.
Yeah.
And I feel like I never really looked at them. And I feel like even when I was looking at them that I couldn't concentrate on anything because here I am sitting in front of a 70-foot-wide screen and the action's moving like it's literally 2 feet away from me.
That's much motion
not
blur.
Pleasant. There was nothing about it that made me think that this was a good movie. This was just I thought it was really, really bad.
I don't know if I wrote this in that, I don't know where I put it, but it seems like this was the first time that Bay had used that much shaky cam in this, because I remember in Armageddon, all that stuff was going off. You didn't have that shaky cam. There was a nice little still shot when you saw one of those, you know, massive rocks slam into the city. It was pretty. Right. It was a pretty steady shot when everything was going haywire. This is the first time I've really seen him use the shaky cam, and I'm agreeing with you. I'm not a fan of it either.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed what I saw. And of course, I always point back to your review, Jeremy, because it was very good. It was very well written, especially some of those points that I agree with, in the sense that. Yeah, sometimes you couldn't tell who was doing what. Sometimes you couldn't tell what was going on. Some of the action, you couldn't...
The camera's either too close to what was going on, or it was very shaky, or it was both.
Yeah, because Megatron and Starscream kind of looked alike a little bit.
They were
both some of those
big flying gray blocks.
And they actually sounded an awful lot alike,
yeah.
In my opinion. There wasn't very much definition between the two.
With the exception of one of them spoke English, and the other one did not.
Later in the film,
yeah,
Starscream spoke
English. He did. When they were standing together.
At the end of the
together.
Film, they all dropped... speaking in Cybertronian and started speaking English for no apparent reason.
Oh, okay. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But,
I missed that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I agree with you on the whole hacker speak and all this.
It was dreadful.
Stupid action stuff.
Well, yeah. And they were just whole...
You kind of have to just accept that with action movies, regardless of the content or even, you know...
I guess. I mean, they spend an awful... I mean, they spent that amount of money and time generating these things, but like couldn't be bothered to do a little bit of research and come up with like just some good language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I won't say that it's insulting, but it's so much easier to do better than that. It's not like it would have taken a phenomenal amount of effort to make it better. And there were just too many characters in there that didn't belong as well. Like all the, you didn't need so many of the military.
Two hacker teenagers. One wasn't enough.
Yeah.
To save the world, you actually needed two in this film.
Right.
Yeah, because the other one was a known name. The one woman I didn't recognize, but I recognized that one guy, and I hated that one guy. I've never liked him in anything he's done, other than maybe The Shield. But anyway, we got to take a break here. We'll be back 6 minutes after the top of the hour to talk all things E3 and taking your calls as well here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. Back to In-Game Chat here at 1170 WACV. By the way, this is Battletoads. I wasn't sure, yes, but I heard it on... I was looking up something for YouTube a long time ago for an opening or whatever.
Best game you'll never finish.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you could get by the speeder bike stage, you couldn't get by the... whatever the one that came after that. I can't remember what it was. Difficulty is what I do remember.
Oh, yeah.
Very hard game. Anyway, welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. We're going to jump into E3 in here in just a second, but Strax wanted to talk about Transformers. He really didn't get to. He's the
resident guy on
this.
Ran out of time before got around to me.
You gotta take that break. Of course, like I said, if you really want to see his views, head on over to mouselook.com and go into the forums and look at the TVs and movies. We've got a thread that he had started, and that's as good a review as you'll get from a fan like him that you'll see. So, but anyway, go ahead.
We
know you did not like it.
I did not like it. I didn't like it even a little bit. Well, there were a couple of things about it that I was okay with. I thought they did a good job on Optimus. I thought he came off intact.
You were really worried about that.
That was my biggest worry because, growing up, Optimus is the guy that represents everything good and right in the world, and I cried when I was 8 and he died in the theater, and I still get a little choked up when I see that scene in the animated movie.
Yeah.
He's the guy. And that was my biggest concern in the film, was that they'd mess him up. And they didn't. They actually did a good job with Optimus. Except in the scene where they were all bumbling around in Spike or Sam or whatever you're going to call him, in his backyard. I'm going to call him Spike.
He's Spike.
And they're acting like a bunch of clowns. That was terrible. That was really bad. Megatron, the little bit he was in the movie, came off pretty good. Which I was kind of surprised about, considering that Hugo Weaving was voicing him, but he
didn't really sound
job.
Like him. Actually,
no, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
They synthesized it enough that it could have been anybody, which makes me wonder why they insisted on having him in that role to begin with, because they didn't advertise him.
Yeah,
being
they didn't
in that
push
role.
His
just
name
there.
At all.
So somebody over Evil Avatar had written up a review on the video game, and said that he does sound Megatron sounds Welker sounds different. Than what he remembers.
Yeah.
Because he voiced the video game version. And, I've seen the video of Welker doing Megatron again, so I don't know if they put some processing on it that before it went into the game that we saw that we didn't hear on the videos. Sounded the same to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't played that game yet, so.
And the other scene I liked was when the Autobots were rescuing Spike and his girlfriend from the... Men in Black guys, Sector 7, or whatever they were.
Yeah.
The Autobots were real coordinated. They were a team, and they seemed to have, like, the whole good guy Autobot group thing down.
Right.
And that was communicated really well. Other than that, there wasn't anything about the movie.
I enjoyed that first... Well, I enjoyed a lot of it, but anyway...
Frenzy was really, really bad. What a terrible character. It's the most annoying thing I've seen on a movie screen.
It was the metallic gremlin.
Time. It was.
Yeah. He was very Salacious Crumb,
yeah.
But like, I didn't unfortunately get to see him treated the same way. too much of that, like too much just jumping around, crazy little monkey thing, like just
that's
being
not a Transformer, man.
Stupid.
That's not a Transformer at all. I don't know what it was, but it was awful.
Yeah, you're right. That was kind
of
bad.
Yeah, and when he's coming out of Air Force One and walking across the airfield, and like nobody sees this thing walking across there and doing all it is.
Well, like in the garden scene, you have big giant metal robots walking around, and nobody.
That was part of the humor. These big giant things trying to hide.
I'd argue that there was any humor there.
Yeah,
I'm saying
that was
but that was the point of it. Was that? But
now the best scene in the movie was. My opinion, the only good scene in the movie was when they all meet in the alley and Spike meets all the Autobots and they all transform and do their little thing. And I'm like, that's great. It's the best shot I've seen of them transforming, and it's the least annoying,
Yeah, I was saying I enjoyed the first scene of.
But man, what about the Decepticons? They had there was no personality. There were no characterization. You could have slapped any. You could exchange the names on any of those characters and vehicles to any other Decepticons, and you couldn't
effect.
Have told the difference.
Yeah.
They were just bad guys.
Yeah.
They weren't characters. They were just
even on the good guy side.
Force.
When Jazz gets torn in half, and like Optimus is eulogizing the two parts of his corpse at the end, I'm like,
Well, yeah.
Whatever.
Like, you
I
only
really
glimpsed
care.
Any of the Autobots' personalities very, very briefly when right. they were introduced.
He was a good soldier. Now, where's
through,
my
like,
little human buddy?
Yes. Yeah. So we spent so much time on all these, you know, human characters, all these big names we had to put in there, that we didn't have any time to get into the actual Transformers characters.
I thought it was very, very telling, of course. I sat through the entire credits, like I always do on any movie. And, you know, long, long time till you get down to the bottom of the actor credits. And, you know, after Xbox Kid,
yeah, I saw
come
that.
All the voice actors.
Yeah.
It's like, that's great,
that
man.
Says
Peter,
a lot.
Peter Cullen is listed
after Xbox Kid.
Like, random guy fourth from the left on street corner.
I was trying to look
at
that.
Who has,
like,
3 seconds yeah. of screen time.
And I was yeah. like, Xbox Kid, where did that come in? And then I started hearing all these people saying,
oh, did you not see that?
I saw a
little shot of
I saw a guy holding a white box that transformed, and yeah, I didn't know that that
core.
Was a 360.
It was a premium. The core's green.
Yeah, the core's green.
It was like, why wasn't it an Elite?
Spend more money.
And this is, you know, yeah, I'm already starting to get into the fanboy mode.
I know. Try not to.
Why does the AllSpark, whenever it creates life, apparently creates extraordinary violent forms
yeah.
of life? The first thing these things do when they come to life is start shooting everything in sight.
Why is it all angry?
Yeah. I mean, you'd think something just became sentient, it would become like, hey, what's going on?
Confused.
What's all this?
At the worst.
No, they immediately attack anything and everything in sight.
And there's no even reason to justify it based on whose hands it was in, because it was in...
It was in Spike's hands.
Well, and it was in... Bumblebee's hands to begin with.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was just another reason to have some shaky cam out there.
Well, yeah.
Something else I found kind of insulting was that the producers and the directors of this movie spent so much time when communicating with the fans telling us how stupid MASH size shifting was. For
right.
like Soundwave, this big giant robot to turn into a small
yeah.
cassette, that they weren't going to do that. It would look ridiculous
makes
on screen.
No sense. Yeah.
People would laugh at it. They wouldn't take it seriously. But what'd they do with this AllSpark? It turns from this huge, giant alien artifact to something that Spike can carry around in the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
Beyond that...
Well, they were inconsistent with their scale.
Yeah.
Terribly inconsistent.
Optimus Prime, who's, you know, a truck, turns into this giant robot with a hand the size of the truck, holding both the human...
Yeah. Well, characters. And then there was that other scene when Optimus picks up the glasses.
The glasses, which are almost as big as his finger.
Yeah, and so, like, his hand was really, like, twice the size of mine or yours. You know, the glasses were small in his hand, but, like, not...
Yeah, man, Bay has no sense of scale or proportion
right.
whatsoever.
Which, again, is fine if they hadn't made such an enormous deal out of the stupidity of mass size shifting.
Yeah. He also has no sense of... like where the CGI goes in the shots, because you have people running all around, giant robots flying everywhere over top of these people who should be getting crushed and trampled,
because
yeah. they're stepping on them in the actual shot. I mean, you can tell there's no room for all these people to be there with these four giant robot feet.
I enjoyed the Megatron thump.
It was funny.
But it was one of the rare interactions of human and robot.
Prime falls off this big building, lands on the concrete below, like on a guy's foot. His shoulder is on a guy's foot, who gets up and runs away. And at the end of the movie, when Spike shoves, you know, the thing into Megatron's chest, Megatron was kind of standing up. He would have had to have been laying on the ground, like right next to him, for Spike to be able to reach that high. He was just kind of like bent over. Spike isn't that tall, man.
He used the AllSpark to mass shift him, size shift himself. You know, he was holding it.
I missed that.
Yeah. So, but anyway. That was what the hell was that? Okay.
And just one last gripe as far as the awful tech speak goes. Well, two things. One. If somebody's hacking your network, there's no signal. It's TCP/IP packets, man. There's no signal for you to extrapolate and look for hidden codes.
I saw the signal on that chick's screen, okay?
I mean, she's an expert.
She is an expert.
It's all pink and purple and stuff.
Well, she wasn't an expert enough because she had to go get her buddy
right.
to look at it.
He was too busy.
Because, you know, all those military analysts, they don't know anything.
Tear him off of Dance Dance Revolution to figure out what the rest of the military-industrial complex couldn't.
Well, look...
Should have been Qatar.
They kept their biggest secrets at an airbase in Qatar for some reason.
and then this is
That's
my other
setting
one.
A great precedent.
Who was the guy? The head of the Department of Defense, or whoever?
The Secretary of Defense.
Secretary of Defense. Maybe the shortwave still works. You think?
Maybe. Just
Unless
maybe.
They've suspended the laws of physics, yes, the shortwave still works.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
You're done here. I'm sure you'll have plenty to say out in the world.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. It's never over.
The last one, man. As dumb as mass size shifting was supposed to be in these people's opinions, the fact that a Transformer can look at something and then turn into it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They just reformat their bodies on the fly.
Yeah.
Well, then why don't you just turn into anything, man? Why is it always the same thing?
Right.
If you can just switch into anything you want at any given time. I thought that was incredibly
And don't
dumb.
You question Michael Bay. Scott will jump across the counter.
No, I won't.
Now I'm done.
I know.
You see that I'm sitting here and I'm not trying to defend any of this because it's...
You did admit that the thing where Bumblebee peed on John Turturro's head was...
I hated that part.
Oh,
I really hated that.
Man.
Oh, my God.
But I really enjoyed...
The Hideo Kojima moment.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah,
Metal Gear Solid 2 flashbacks.
Which I didn't play. Which I'm sure something like that was in there. But
yeah,
a few times, actually.
Yeah. Quite a few.
Which is weird because when I play Overlord, whenever any of my minions go into a tavern and start drinking beers, they automatically pee in the corner somewhere.
Yeah, I think it comes off a little bit different. I think
it comes off better because I've got gremlins all around me rather than, you know.
I'm sure the joke works.
You know, giant robots fighting for whatever the case. For good. I don't know. It just meant more to me than peeing on a guy.
Yeah,
or simu peeing on a guy. I guess I don't know, but it was. I just when that came up, I felt really bad about that. I was like, oh man.
Well, but yeah, we're done with that. It's been seen.
And like you, where everybody loves it, I was cringing at that scene, but everybody else was like, "Oh, it's hilarious!" Ooh,
yeah,
burn.
People cheered. I don't understand that. People clapped. I'm like, man.
I've been hearing
I'm
a lot
sorry.
Of stories about applause at the end of the movie.
I got
so grateful.
I got a lot of that in
mind. The people I was with in my theater did not applaud. I don't think I could have took it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I won't defend it because it's everybody's view, it's everybody's look on this, and so, you know, you're not jumping at me for liking Michael Bay. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to jump at you for not liking.
Popular reaction. I'm far in the minority here.
Yeah,
judging by ticket sales.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was huge. That means my Movie Mogul site. I need to check on that, by the way. I need
well,
to see
they don't, that can get films. Updated till tomorrow, man.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to look at that one. And number one across the board on this. Anyway, let's jump into E3. And again, we want your opinions
Sorry,
on this.
So much time. No,
that's okay.
Right. We got to talk about it.
Tomorrow you need to come back and talk about MAME and Transformers. 3 hours, you're good to go, man. You can talk about whatever. Let's jump into E3 because that's what this week is all about, E3. And we want your calls and opinions on this. You can email us at ingamechat@gmail.com. We already had some emails there, so thank you for those. You can also call us, 334-272-9228.
Do we need to give away the thing now?
Yeah, we won't. Crap, I didn't come up with a question while we were...
A question.
You want me to see what I can come up with while
see
you guys
yeah,
start?
Yeah, see what you can
I was
going to
make it E3. In fact, let me... we'll do it this way.
Okay.
What year and where was the first E3 held?
Okay.
Somebody look that up real quick before we what year and where was the first E3 held? Give us a call, 334-272-9228, if you think you know the answer. We'll hook you up with a free rental from Movie Gallery Game Zone that is good for any Movie Gallery Game Zone, any movie gallery or game zone located in the U.S. or Canada. So, and yeah, we know it's Canada. We just call it that. 334-272-9228, the very first year and the very first location that E3 was held at. And we're gonna look up our facts on that one real quick. Hopefully we can get them. Okay.
Yeah, well, I was pretty sure that I knew it. I wanted him to fact check it. It's a shame that it doesn't work like it used to, because I don't know if anyone, I'm sure several people do, but they used to bounce back and forth between L.A. and Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier for those, I mean, in case anybody doesn't know, we're here in the Southeast, we're in Alabama. Mm-hmm. When they hold it in Atlanta, it's so much easier to get there because a trip out to the West Coast is extremely arduous for us. But that's what they said when they were talking about not wanting to do it in Atlanta, because most of the industry is centered on the West Coast. They had to move everything out to Atlanta for these shows. It wasn't really benefiting them in any way, so they quit doing it. It's a real shame because, you know, it was nice to drive to my first E3.
Yeah.
It was back.
I get to go, I get to fly out to my first PAX, which is going to be nice.
That'll be nice.
You'll enjoy it, man.
Yeah, they got the floor plan laid out, and I was showing it to Strax, and he saw the Rooster Teeth booth, and he's like, "Oh, can you take my lightish red DS and have Donut sign it, please, from the Red versus Blue?"
Yeah, man.
You know, be glad to. So anyway, give us a call if you know those. Now let's jump into E3. Give us a call if you'd like to talk about that as well. Where's all our E3 news?
There's a
stack of it. Hand me some of that stuff. Or
I want that top one.
You want the top one? Go ahead. Throw off the top one.
This is what I was talking about earlier is Nintendo said there's going to be no playable Smash Brothers at E3. You know, that doesn't mean we won't see anything new, just no playable
games. I'm sure we will.
Oh, yeah. There's still
some final confirmation on everybody that's going to be in it.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to see any new characters aside from what we've already seen. But they're saying 2007 release date. That doesn't give any specifics here. You know, but given, what was it, a couple months ago, Kojima said he played an almost complete version of it.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you know, I'm looking forward to it. That's the one on the Wii I want really bad.
I really wish it wasn't as far back as I thought. For some reason, I thought it was one of the first things coming out in that glut of you know, the insane August watershed of games, but I guess not. Not that I was going to buy it, but I expected it to show up either in, you know, your place or Jeremy's, somewhere where I could go and see it. But that's cool. That's fine. We'll play it later on.
You know, we're talking about E3, and I'll go ahead and give you, like I said, our Wednesday night show is going to be the same time as tonight's show. It's going to be at 7 o'clock Central Time. We're going to go 2 hours and talk about all things E3. And I'm going to hopefully have some clips of Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo's, all their press conferences and all the highlights from there. However, you know, E3 different this year. You can't just go. There's going to be a lot less, and probably not a lot less coverage. I think we'll still have the same amount of coverage. We will just have a lot less amount of people.
Yeah.
A forum talk
it was
about
a lot,
it. Maybe,
there was always like, there was always that notion that E3 was for people in the industry. I mean, they always put up just a, you know, an intangible kind of front of, well, you got to be in the industry. But it was like, man, if take a business card from Software Etc., which is what I did on my first one, and walked up there, and it's like, I work at Software Etc. I'm a third key holder, and I close the store sometimes. You better let me in there. And they were like, that'd be $25, you know, and then they gave me my thing. And I walked in, like, it was...
Because the people
stupid.
Taking your money are the people getting paid minimum wage anyway.
Yeah,
they're like,
exactly.
Here, just
I made
money,
up my own
in.
Business card and some, you know, terrible, cheap cardboard
right.
paper
And we
stock
went semi-legitimate. The first year you and I went together, a group of us went with Press Pass from one of our buddies, knew a person at his college paper, and they gave us, like, credentialed us to go in there. And we didn't do anything, man. We didn't write anything. We just went in there and drank... Whose beer did we drink? It was somewhere we went in and sat down and played. It was Tachyon. We sat down
Tachyon.
And played.
Who made Tachyon? I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, neither can I. Anyway, that's all I did with my press pass. So I played Tachyon, drank beer. That's all I remember.
Which is odd because I'm going to PAX and I'm not interested in seeing any of the concerts. I'm not interested in seeing Will Wheaton speak. I'm not interested in that. So, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, and you know
that was the final breaking point.
You know how much of a heavy drinker I am.
Yeah. That was the final breaking point for us because when we were deciding whether or not we'd be able to go for various reasons, which I'm sad that we can't, but, you know, they're real reasons. Dana said that because they made the announcement that Gabe said something about it being Star Trek related. I can't remember the specifics of what he said.
He'll be on the bridge.
But if it had, but we didn't know who it was.
Right.
And she was thinking that it would be Count Bakula. And if it had been Count Bakula, we'd have had to go.
Yeah.
There would have been no... Seriously. Seriously. Because she doesn't care about, you know, Captain Archer. She wants to go to talk to, you know, Dr. Sam Beckett.
It would have been the same, thing for me.
Absolutely.
I would have taken all four of my... Or all five of my season sets and been like, sign this. Here's a book. I've got a mug. Could you sign this, too?
Yep.
Oh man, what was it called? Here's a hand link I made out of Legos and gummy bears or whatever.
Ziggy.
No. Ziggy was the computer. His link to Ziggy was the hand link or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, you hit it and made noises. Anyway, G4 is going to be broadcasting. This is different. Last year they did the same thing, except they did highlights. I've never been one to like G4.
Yeah, Man, there's a show right there. Okay. There's a show. That network angers me because they bought up all the tech TV stuff.
And kicked all of them out.
Under the auspices of, hey, we're going to create a more game-centric network. And like...
And we show and they've cops.
Cops and cheaters. You know, like 18 hours a day. And it's like... And they...
With Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, and they've taken it as almost a point of pride to keep Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb being the only two people that actually talk about video games on the network. Yeah. I mean, like, Attack of the Show and Ninja Warrior are the only two things watching on that network.
Man, Ninja Warrior's awesome.
Ninja Warrior is awesome.
There's a sound clip here. I don't know if I should play this or not. I don't know what this is going to say, but it seems to apply.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So much crap, they had to start a second pile.
Yeah, exactly. we don't like, not a big fan, but they are broadcasting these, and they're broadcasting them live, the press conferences.
I think they should pick us up.
Yeah.
Nova Logic, man.
Nova Logic.
Nova Logic.
That's right. Voxels.
Voxels.
I forgot
that
about
was
Voxels.
Them. Right.
Man. Boy, that was a brief little slice of history back in the late 90s.
Man.
I remember we got in trouble in the store for saying
voxels. For saying voxels.
Because some woman thought that it was a curse word.
Yeah, seriously. Voxels were like, this was back when, you know, 3D acceleration was still kind of expensive. You had to buy an add-on card.
Right.
And, so Nova Logic came up with these things called voxels.
Which, if anybody doesn't know, the term pixel is a shortened thing which refers to the picture element. That's what it means, a little picture element that forms the thing. Like, voxel was supposed to mean, was it volume element?
Yeah.
It was audio, obviously.
It was a way of doing 3D without using 3D accelerated hardware.
Right, just using your processor.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be a cheap and easy way that more people could kind of get into doing that sort of stuff. It did not...
Pan out. So we've got this guy.
We got a phone call real quick. I want to jump to that.
Take the phone call. This is just a cheesy voxel story.
Yeah, hang on. Hey, who's this?
Jill, where's the lockpick?
I'm sorry, hang on. What's your... What did that say?
Somebody was playing a clip from Resident Evil.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. No, sorry. Yeah, don't surprise me like
you, the master of unlocking. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That was
I didn't know.
It was Chris Redfield, man.
Was it Chris Redfield handing her the thing?
No, it was Barry.
It was Barry. That's right.
Barry handing Jill the...
The master of unlocking. Take this.
We're the only show of this type on this station. Some people aren't proud of that.
Yeah.
And are not very happy with that. So when I hear some stern voice start talking to me in gibberish because I didn't get that far. I'm like, whoa, 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 because this guy could be like telling me to, you know, just go to hell.
Jill Sandwich, that was a good one.
Jill Sandwich. You were almost a Jill Sandwich.
There's a fantastic mashup of sound files out there from the original Resident Evil that result in some, you know, a fairly colorful situation. If
I thought it was a winner for our contest. That's what I thought it was. But
somebody call in. Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
you can Google that result.
Yeah, really. The first
E3, stuff to give you.
The year it was held and where it was held at. Give us a call.
All right, so I'll finish my...
272-9228.
All right. I finish my voxel story.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so anyway. We sell some guy. What was the name of the game? Do you remember?
No,
okay.
I don't.
It was some first-person tactical shooter at the time. That's all I remember. And James hands the game across the counter. He says, voxels. And the lady on the other side of the counter says, you shouldn't use language like that in store. And James looks at me and is like, what did I say? And I look back at him, and the lady's not helping. She's not saying what it was that offended her. So I was like, I don't know, man. Voxels? And she got like really mad and just like, you know, slams her hands down on the counter and huffs off. So I don't know.
That was great. Customer service.
I assume it was voxels. I would be mad at voxels too.
I would too.
You can't 3D, you can't accelerate a voxel.
No, you can't.
Maybe a curse word on like reboot or something, but
I doubt she was that plugged into things.
No. So anyway, G4 is going to be broadcasting.
Delta Force. Thank you, Mike O'Hara.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly what it was. Very good. Thanks for... that's awesome. Delta Force.
Anyway,
so something happening with G4?
I don't know. You can find it online. I tell you what, screw G4, go to 1UP, go to GameSpot, you can even go to MouseLook, we'll have something up there. And E3, Evil Avatar is going to have live coverage and blogging as well, so... So, yeah, there you go.
What else we got? What are we talking about?
Well, I got tons of E3 lineups here.
What's your next big thing? What are you wanting to see?
Well,
you're going to talk to us about that.
What is one thing? I would love to go over all these games.
Look at the clock, buddy. Something like Voxels might come up again.
That would have made a great Xbox Live name.
Voxel?
Voxels.
You can have it changed. You just have to pay money.
Oh, yeah?
You got to pay like 10, 12 bucks, or maybe, no, 25, I think, to change your name.
Ooh.
Grumpy hey, Voxel.
He's got more stuff up there if you want to, you know, point that out. Joint operations? Maybe?
I didn't deal with that. But okay. it was Delta Force.
Well, you can guess what I'm waiting for.
What are you waiting for?
Burnout. Yeah, Burnout Paradise. That's
You're
what I
want to
see.
You're always waiting for Burnout.
Yeah, I know.
It comes out almost every year, so you're always waiting for Burnout.
Hey, that's fine with me. Even when it's released, it's like, all right, how long before we get the next one?
Right.
So, yeah, there's lots of stuff. So my biggest one that I'm looking for is obviously is Burnout. I don't know. I don't know what else I'm really interested in. Burnout's my big thing. Call of Duty 4, maybe? Bioshock? Obviously. Well, not really even Bioshock. It comes out in August. I'm not really anticipating that.
Yeah.
As much.
I mean, it's just an, yeah. It comes out, we buy a copy.
Talking away from the games for a minute, I'm more interested in what these press conferences are going to say.
Yeah.
Like the new, you know, surprise me with new stuff, new big game announcements, or new ways that I can interact with my 360, or new things that you got planned, you know, show me that stuff. So I'm kind of interested in those things too. So, Burnout with Voxels, no. But yeah, so that's me and what I'm interested in. Anything specific sticking out for you, James?
I don't know. I'd like to hear more about Assassin's Creed. That's been, you know, I want to hear more about what the story is. I'd like to hear a few more specifics about, I don't know. I guess maybe a little more specifics about what the story is and everything.
Yeah,
I just feel like it hasn't been there. But more than that is Mass Effect. That's my big one that I want to hear about.
Yeah.
Mass Effect is kind of a big deal for me. I mean, I even read the little prequel novel written by Drew Karpyshyn, who is also works at BioWare and is actually penning the story to the game. So I read the prequel novel, which was, it was kind of weak.
Through books fast.
Yeah, I do.
I'm working on the Halo novels right now.
Yeah, which I would kind of like to read those as well, but I don't know. I'm not always in the mood to read a book about a game. I did this one specifically because I read this because the guy who wrote the book is the guy who's writing the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was their idea to write the book as not as something that you have to read, but as something that's a very, very good introduction to the people and places and things and the rule sets of that universe.
I may have to do that because
really
right now I'm going into reading a book about a game where I already know, I'm familiar with the game, so I know what's going in. Mass Effect, I'll be going in blind reading that novel because I don't have any familiarity with anything that I'm reading about.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to go into the game having familiarity, kind of like the first time, really, going into a brand new game and having familiarity with the characters and the settings and everything else that I'm dealing with. Could be interesting. InWar, you interested in that?
I am.
Yeah.
We touched on this last week, and we said InWar. I'm curious about because it's a strategy game. I know that it's smaller scale strategy. It's small unit, not large unit RTS on the console. But man, they are going to have to do some serious next level thinking to figure out a way to make strategy work well with a console controller. That's all there is to it. And this is, like, only on the console. Like, that's what they're doing, and that's the big thing, and they say that they're doing some real important stuff with it. Even seeing some video would be nice. So,
yeah. Well, Assassin's Creed, when you're talking about seeing that, I don't know necessarily. I've heard that there's a nice little story attached to that game. Interesting little bits of maybe even time travel in there and stuff like that I'm kind of interested in. I mean,
I'd like to see what comes of it.
It's got some interesting stuff in there to where, you know, all we've really seen is that everything's taking place back in during the Crusades, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. The second Crusade? I can't remember the date. I cannot remember the date.
But yeah.
It is a specific place and a specific time. And I know that it has a lot to, it essentially has something to do with not necessarily time travel.
Memory or something.
Yeah, genetic memory.
Yeah, something like that.
So but what they're after, what they're looking to find, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's not as simple as, you know, 10th century Metal Gear. It's not quite like that. So it's still cloaked in mystery there. That I'm looking forward to hearing about. And I think it's we're supposed to hear something about, what was it, Halo Wars.
Halo Wars, the demo is ready for E3. Yeah.
I'm supposed to hear something about that, which I think is great. Finally, Halo coming full circle back to where it was originally supposed to be.
RTS.
A very long time ago.
Yeah.
So
that'll be interesting. There's a demo apparently ready for E3. Will there be one on the Xbox Live? I doubt it.
I don't know.
I don't know, though. You could. We will see more stuff. Dennis, what are you looking forward to? One thing, maybe.
Smash Bros. Brawl is one thing.
That's true.
Umbrella Chronicles. I want to see what exactly is going on with that, because, you know, it's going back through the games, but it's kind of, in my understanding, it's just kind of the House of the Dead style playing on rails.
Do you have a Wii?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
It's the only one of the next gens I have.
Yeah, I thought you did. No, I was just.
I mean, I want a 360. I mean, BioShock, I am dying for. I mean, I love the System Shock 2 on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is basically the spiritual
BioShock successor. Is so close to coming out, that I'm sort of not really interested in seeing any more on that. I've seen plenty on that, and my tank is full on that. I'm ready for the game to come out, whereas some of these other things I just haven't seen a lot of, and that I'm really interested in those. Becky, looking forward to Viva Pinata 2? I don't know.
I don't have anything in particular I'm looking forward to. I mean, the next game I'm really looking forward to is the third installment of Phoenix Wright, and that's not until September, but I doubt they'll be going over that.
Let's look. No, they haven't. I don't think they've mentioned anything like that. What is that, Capcom?
I don't remember.
Nope. Okay. More to be confirmed. Capcom's got Devil May Cry 4, Rocket Man, Axis of Evil, Super Puzzle Fighter 2, and Super Street Fighter 2. For the arcades there, so that's what you're looking at from Capcom, but more to be confirmed.
Man, I don't want Super Street Fighter 2. I don't want Street Fighter 2 Turbo. I want Street Fighter Alpha 3. That was it. That was the pinnacle to me of street fighting, and they seem determined to increment their way up there, just like they did, you know, the first time through. They're going to give us a little bit better every time. I get another $10. You're not getting my $10 till you release Alpha 3, man. I'll give you $15 for Alpha 3.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Release Alpha 3.
Well, completely has nothing to do with what you're talking about. which it's time to feel what I was talking about earlier. But it'll be interesting that if, you know, last year Microsoft kind of walked off the stage, the auditorium went black and they showed the trailer, the teaser little thing for Halo 3. Be interesting if they walk off the stage and they show a teaser for. Obviously, it would be all text, but maybe the Halo film that really hasn't been talked much about. I know words of it have been dropped and picked back up just whatever, all this other stuff. But maybe something along those lines there would be interesting. That's what I always look forward to the best, is those little surprises that nobody saw coming. Nobody had any idea that they would be seeing. But what are you looking forward to, Jeremy?
I have no idea, man. I don't know.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Not Smash, not Umbrella, not, I don't know, anything else.
A little bit for Smash Brothers, but I'm more apprehensive than anything.
Mario Galaxy or anything like that?
No.
Huh.
Well, I don't know. It's
going to be a boring week for you.
I want another big multiplayer game for us all to play. You know, and most of the stuff that's coming out that everybody's looking forward to is all single-player stuff. BioShock.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
Halo 3 is co-op.
Yeah, it's... It's Halo 3, though.
I mean, I know I feel what you're saying there. I mean, I'm looking forward to Halo 3 co-op, but...
Yeah, I'd like to know if Call of Duty is... Call of Duty 4 would be have any co-op in there.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
See, that'd be something to look forward to. See, I don't know what I'm looking forward to, because whatever I'm going to get out of this E3 thing is going to be a surprise to me, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It'll be something I haven't heard yet.
Condensed
that's what I'm looking
forward
to. I'm looking forward to finding out stuff I don't already know.
Well, and that's a totally valid thing, because you know everybody's got a couple of surprises.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. I mean, despite the fact that E3 has completely changed, they've still developed a lot of their, you know, all of their releases and all of their news releases around the idea that there are some big surprises each year at E3. They've still got an E3 to make the announcements. It's still a platform for surprises.
Knight's Journey of Dreams will be on display there.
Yeah. That's kind of... That's sort of an underwhelming thing. It was announced, and it was like, Well, yeah, it still looks kind of weird. I'm not sure I want to play that.
Blue Dragon, they're talking about a demo, maybe, on the 20th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be really great.
Blue Dragon, really Lost really Odyssey will be there.
I do one. Get some Blue Dragon if I had 360 again.
Yeah.
Get one.
They dropped the price.
Yeah.
Sierra will be showing us what the game called Unannounced Title will look like. I don't know. Yeah, that's just interesting. They put the, everybody else they put.
That title comes up every E3, but it never.
Everybody never else, though, they put either.
They talk about Sierra killing stuff.
Yeah, they put more to be confirmed and that sort of thing.
Man. The Sierra booth was always a source of a lot of heartache for me when I went to E3s. There were always some of the best things that I wanted to see that never panned out. Ever.
The Babylon 5.
Babylon 5.
I've still got a little hurt spot in my, you know, inner child.
Game was nearly finished.
Yeah, it was great. It was killer.
Man.
I had it shown at E3 and everything, and then it was just quietly, well, not so quietly, but unceremoniously dumped into the nether, and we never saw it again.
If you guys in the chat room have anything, or anybody listening has anything they'd like to add on what they're looking forward to from E3, give us a call, 334-272-9228. I'll put the number back in there.
Still, and we're still waiting on a prize caller.
Well, you know, if we don't have a prize caller,
it'll roll over to next week.
It stacks.
That's right.
So you could win two. So
you can either win two, or maybe we can do two separate prize calls next week. I don't know.
Well, we could.
This is a pretty easy question.
It really is.
It's kind of a gimme.
If the question is, you know, when was the first E3 held? What
and
year?
Where.
And where? Give us a call at that number, 334-272-92. Look at there. Well, it couldn't have been there because 6 seconds. Who knows? They're probably calling an E3 debate. Let's go to the phones. Who's this? Hello?
Hey.
Hey, who's this?
Mike O'Hara, again.
Hey, Mike, well, that's fine. Call in. That's great.
Yes, bring back the world of voxels, please.
Hey, you were riding that joke pretty hard. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I got your answer, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
Please.
1995 in L.A.
That's it.
That's correct.
Congratulations, buddy. I tell you what, you're on Evil Avatar, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so you get a clap. Send me, I'm Psycho Boy 2 over there. Send me a PM with all your information. I'll get it to the guys over at the movie gallery, and they'll mail it out to you, okay?
Okay.
So just do that. Hey, what are you looking forward to from E3?
Good question.
Anything?
Hopefully some more stuff that will convince me to buy a PS3.
Yeah, see, I you know what? I agree with that completely. Like, I want one. I have no problems with the system. I just need... I don't even have any problem with the price. I can afford one. I don't know, a lot of people can't, but I could get one. I just need more. I need them to reach a critical mass. An almost insignificant critical mass of games. Just give me something.
15 exclusives, I think, is what they said. By the year's end, they would have 15 exclusives.
I don't even care. It can be a non-exclusive, but that has something in it that makes it more fun. I don't care.
What's it? What is going to be? What game is that going to be?
I don't know. I'm just basically I'm just opening the field up to like for them to just be creative.
I can't if it's multi-platform. I go 360.
Well,
because I got achievements.
My big thing this week is Wednesday when World of Conflict gets the beta released finally, and I get to play it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you'll have to call us up and let us know.
Yeah, because I went and reserved the retail copy of the game with the collector's edition and the Berlin Wall piece and all that.
Oh, that's excellent.
He censored himself, thank you.
Yeah.
He's like, all that blank.
So you'll get to play that on Wednesday?
It's supposed to be out on Wednesday. And
okay.
The final product is supposed to be out the 18th, from
okay.
what I've heard.
Okay.
Well, if you can, try to call us next week and let us know what you think of the beta.
Yeah, definitely. Cause, you know,
I'll let you know if it has some voxels in it.
Yeah,
right.
Let us know.
Better not.
But don't forget to send me your information so I can get.
Yeah, I'll make sure.
So
to
I
do
can
that.
Send you that stuff out. And thanks for calling.
Yeah, all right. Thanks again. Take care.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks again for calling. And if you'd like to call in and let us know what you're looking forward to, give us a call 334-272-9228. I'm trying to go over. Jingo will be on display.
Okay.
By the way, from Atari.
I'm curious what people have to say about it.
Yeah, exactly.
From our previous conversation.
Rock Band will be there, of course. Interesting to look at that. Let's see. What else am I looking at here? Blue Dragon, Lost Odyssey, Mass Effect, of course. PGR4.
I wouldn't. It's a PC thing, and I don't really play on the PC anymore, but I'd be interested to hear more about Hellgate London and how that's going to work. Mm-hmm. It's from the Diablo team, but it's the I don't know how much you paid attention to it, but it is there's a supposedly strange pricing structure going to be put in place with that game, where it's going to have free, you know, you buy the game and just play the game types of things, and yeah. Then some elements of the multiplayer will be subscription based, so kind of like half an MMO sort of thing. I don't really know, and again, I won't be able to play it because I don't have a PC anymore, but I am very interested in it because it seems like a different approach to pay-for-play mm-hmm. kind of things. So that's one of the things I'd like to hear more about.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and, well, no, we're not, because we got a phone call, and our phone calls come first. Hello, who's this?
This is Flinks.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah, it's calling in to talk about your lack of PC love.
Well,
yeah, we really don't do enough of it.
About it.
Yeah, we don't do enough of it. I mean, a lot of us are, I mean, a couple of us at least are former pretty serious PC gamers.
Did you see the specs for BioShock? I printed them out somewhere.
Yeah, they're around here somewhere.
Very
tiny writing. That's one of those creepy shooters. I don't play those.
Oh.
No, but there's Witcher and Jagged Alliance 3, Crysis, Hellgate.
Crysis, wow. Yeah.
Yes.
So. You got a rig for that one, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I'm a PC gamer, so.
I've seen you on the Xbox.
How do you feel about that? I mean, are you of the opinion that PC gaming has waned in the last several years?
After last year, a little bit, but this year's been pretty good. I'm also primarily an adventure gamer.
Oh, yeah.
And that's Loom, come back so huge. Yeah.
What is that about Loom? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but there's so many independents putting out adventure games every year.
Right.
Yeah, the adventure gaming is really coming back.
Yeah. I'm glad to see it on the consoles. You know. I own them, I play them.
Yeah, things like Steam and other types of online distribution have made for a nice resurgence for adventure games and independent publishers.
And it's a good platform for an independent developer to work with.
Yeah, it is.
It's you know, lower barrier to entry for making something like that. Like, you know, the hex-based war games were for a long time. You know, the auteur projects that some guy would make in his spare time. It's an easier thing to deal with. Less graphically intensive, so.
Yeah, so you're more on the PC side then, huh?
I wish we still had as much time spent there. I mean, if it isn't Warcraft, you know, I'm not playing a PC game, I don't guess.
Yeah. City Heroes was my last.
I'm still kind of looking forward to, what was the name of it? Sins of a Solar Empire.
Yeah.
Sort of a spiritual successor to Homeworld. Never did get my hands on the beta of that.
Well,
but
you
it
didn't
sounds
pre-order,
really,
did you?
Really nice. No, I didn't pre-order, so I don't get it. In fact, I'm going to look that up right now and see, because I forgot what the release date was.
Well, yeah, you should make sure to use our shiny new email and, like, keep us abreast of anything you think we're not touching on in terms of PC
stuff.
Yeah,
any PC
stuff.
Game thing that you think we need to talk about on the next show, man, drop us a line and, you know, keep us in line.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But, I know, it kind of scares people away with the, you know, sometimes you have to mess with the game for a while before it'll even work.
It's true.
Or the cost of entry.
Yes. Yeah, the game itself, of course, being cheaper, because it's something we're seeing a lot now, is that the Xbox 360 version of a game that's also appearing on the PC is like $20, $30 more expensive, which is kind of bad. So, yes, you've got the upgrade cycle that you have to deal with, but, I mean, I was a PC gamer for a long time and a non-console gamer in that period of time. And
the price drops come very fast for the game.
That's
exactly.
You know, a month later, you're paying $15-$20 less.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's worth noting that, like, the people that spend the money on gaming PCs are also the people that are mostly responsible for driving that development of hardware, which then results in cheaper Dells for mom and dad to buy. I mean, PC gaming is important. I wish that more money was being spent on it, but it isn't, and that's why so many people jump ship to go over to the consoles. I miss PC gaming a lot. There are a lot of things that aren't happening on consoles.
Well, I don't know about everybody else, but I know you and I have always gone through cycles of some
sort.
It's
true.
Where
it's true.
We'd be a console gamer for a while, and then a PC gamer for a while, and then shift back into console
right.
mode. And we've both just recently, you sooner than I did, started a console cycle
right.
here in the past couple of years. And then I just, you know, I guess in the past, just in this past year, got addicted to the 360 way of doing things.
Yeah, and I like it. But
that sounds like a genre cycle, you know?
It can be.
You get on the RTS 6, you know, you can't do that on
it
the console.
Be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And for a lot of, in a lot of ways, it was the multiplayer thing for a very
yeah.
long time. And there was there just...
Yeah, there was no multiplayer on the console,
yeah.
man.
And now that it's here, that was a big selling point for this group. It's like, well, we can't always get together physically,
mm-hmm.
but... Man, if I can just pop on Xbox Live, because we got friends that live all over the place.
Yeah, and you don't have to muck around with settings or
yeah,
who
it's
can
got
connect
that console
to who.
Accessibility.
Yeah, it does. It
live
does.
Live just works most of the time. 99%
yeah.
of the time,
we've
you
had
can
some
turn
trouble,
and play together.
But less than we used to have hooking up LAN parties on Windows 98. So, but no, Ed, we're not in any way anti PC. Everybody in here is
yeah.
a
it's
PC
just
gamer to some extent.
It's we don't have anybody currently who's big into the PC thing at the moment.
Hoggy.
Well, yeah, Hoggy
is.
Guys. He's just not on the show.
And he's a big simulation guy, has been for years. He was like that long before I met him. He's still like that now. And racing simulation, flying simulation, he's always been into that stuff, and that is on the PC. And so he kind of straddles the line a little bit between PC and console. But,
well,
yeah, definitely.
Sins of the Solar Empire ain't coming out till February, man. So I got a little
Blech.
Time before I get to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's publishing that?
Stardock.
Okay.
It's being developed by Ironclad Games. This is their first game. These guys worked on Homeworld Cataclysm, the expansion to Homeworld.
Oh, okay.
And this is their first game, and they didn't want to sell their souls by signing away their rights to a big name publisher. So Stardock is publishing it, but Stardock, I don't believe, owns the rights to the game. I think Ironclad is retaining all the rights to this title.
Hmm.
Which is a very good thing. So it's an independently published thing, but it is going to make it onto retail shelves.
I hope so.
Which is a big deal for Stardock, actually.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, thanks
oh, yeah.
a
bunch.
We do appreciate it. We've got to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and just wrap up the show here.
Final thoughts.
Yeah, just real quick final thoughts, by the way. But we'll be right back here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. Wrapping things up here. We've only got about 2 minutes left in the show, and I was pulling the wrong mic down. yeah, before we go, though, I was pulling the wrong one. Before we go, I wanted to thank everybody in the chat room right now. There's a lot. We've got Bohica, Space Angel, Flinks, Hoggy, Fishbang, Mike O'Hara, Spike Kojima, Tomb of Soldier, Straxus, myself, Rorschach, Blackwing, Akuma, Dest2, and Ratty. I want to thank everybody in there. Thanks for listening. I think this is one of the biggest crowds we've ever had.
Yep.
Want to thank Alan from Movie Gallery and Game Zone for hooking us up with these gift certificates. And Mike, you'll be getting yours here shortly or soon. And everybody else listening who may not be in the chat room, whoever called in and played us the clip of Resident Evil there.
Yeah, that was great.
Thanks for that. I was just a little inexperienced and a little nervous. so I took that off real quick, but thanks for doing that as well. We all got a kick out of that. And thanks for everybody who is listening and writing us in. Richard, thanks for writing us in. And you can do it. Don't forget, Wednesday night, we're going to do this again. The day after tomorrow, we're going to do another show devoted
Wednesday,
completely
Wednesday,
to
Wednesday.
E3.
Yep.
Wednesday.
Special E3 report in game chat.
Yep.
Don't watch Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb.
No, 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 no.
Come
no,
listen
no.
to us.
No, come listen to us. We'll have a lot better. And you'll be on the show
Don't
anyway.
Watch Spaz and Lizard Girl.
That's right.
But yeah, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to have a brand new show. Hopefully, we're going to talk to Nick, who is out at E3. And hopefully, we'll hear from him, and he can tell us how everything's going. And we'll get you up to date on that. Real quick, what are you guys doing for the rest of the week? Working, obviously.
Yeah.
Got any plans?
A little bit of Warcraft this weekend when I have some time. I'm really excited to check out the new map packs on Rainbow Six with everybody.
You're next, Dennis.
Some Disgaea 2, Kingdom of Loathing, and that's pretty much it.
You, Becky?
Work and probably some Tenchu and some arcade stuff because I finally got gold account.
Go for it, Jeremy.
Rainbow Six, Tenchu, and probably some Uno, maybe some other arcade stuff.
All right, I'm going to try and hook up with you on the arcade stuff, some Catan, some Carcassonne, some Uno. I'll also get into Overlord and probably get in the darkness. Thanks again for listening. Join us Wednesday night here on 1170 with In-Game Chat. Thanks.